Welcome back, everybody, to the Cave of Solitude, your comic book and pop culture podcast. I am your host, Eric Anthony, and once again, we are in the cave away from the cave, Cyber City Comics, and I'm here with
Jazz
and Ronnie,
the duo that will beat me up if they don't get a chance to be on the podcast again, because they are samurais in training.
Not true.
Welcome back to the show, guys. I gotta say, I've been looking at my iTunes feed for the podcast, yes. And for some reason, I don't know if it's from your doing and telling people you were on those episodes, but there's a lot of popularity for the last two that we did together.
Okay. Yeah, well, you know what? We actually told the customers about it. We told our friends. I've told a couple of my friends over here.
Good. That's what
hopefully
I want to hear.
So
you're increasing the listenership.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Because there's no way to track on iTunes.
Yeah.
How many actual listeners
really?
You get. No, there's no way that you can, like, see statistics. And on my website, I now have the Google Analytics.
Okay.
And I think I have to give a shout-out to our wild card, because I think he hooked that up for me without me knowing. but I don't get a lot of hits on the website. So it's all, whatever's coming through is either through iTunes or maybe from Facebook now.
Okay,
so
yeah.
The store word of mouth is
amazing. Some people that I recommended to, they don't necessarily have iTunes, and I'm just like, oh no, it's on his website. Like, oh, what? He has a website? And they would listen to everything.
Oh, good.
Yeah, they did, like, I told them, like, oh, I'm on this episode, and they're just like, I'm just gonna listen through. Alright.
cool, that's good to know. You never know who's listening, and with the iTunes, you can't track it, but
yeah.
It's nice to know that. You're not just doing this for yourself.
Yeah.
For yourself.
No,
for
definitely
the
not.
Five friends you might have. So how you guys been doing? What's new and exciting? What are you reading? What has happened in your geek universe?
Well, first off, after Fan Expo, I got ridiculously sick because this guy coughed in my face. I was walking along and I was
Ronnie coughed in your face?
No, I was talking. Okay, I was talking with my brother, and then I turn around. And this guy that was walking in front of me, I heard him coughing and everything. I was just like, oh, man, I hope he doesn't cough in my face. And he turns around at the wrong time and...
and there's no way to escape
there's
it there.
There's no way Jesus to escape Christ. Because it was like, man, you're like shoulder to shoulder in Fan Expo on Saturday.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, my God. Oh, I was like, I was so ready to hit him, but I'm just like, nope. I contain myself. I'm going to find everything that I need, and I'm just going to go back. And by, like... maybe by the end of Saturday, I was, like, sitting on the floor because there were no chairs on my side, and everybody was, like, has taken a chair. Like, I'm just sitting on the floor. I don't even care. People were, like, asking questions. They're just like, where's Daryl? I'm like, I don't know where Daryl is. Don't ask me questions.
What's
I don't know the answer to.
So did you, how many days of the con did you work?
Two. But I also had no sleep before Friday.
So on the days that you didn't work, were you at the store?
Yes, I was at the store for an entire, how many days? Like 14 days straight?
Seriously?
Yeah, man.
That's why you got sick. On top of the guy coughing at you, it just like sealed the deal.
That was a cherry on top.
Yeah.
He made sure it was going to happen.
Dude, I was like sweating in my bed for a week.
Jeez. Yeah, that's a real flu.
Yeah. That was disgusting. But I found the first appearance of Iron Fist for $75.
At the con?
Yes, at the con. I found a bunch of other stuff that I needed.
Who created and drew the first... Who wrote and drew the first Iron Fist, for those who might not know? Because I don't think I do.
Chris Claremont wrote the first appearance of Iron Fist, and Gil Kane drew first appearance of Iron Fist.
So they're the creators.
Yeah.
Good creative team.
Yeah, definitely. Speaking of artists and writers, you want to get to the topic that we were supposed to get to?
Sure. You want to get to that?
Yeah, man.
Okay.
Let's discuss this. Obviously, you should go first.
So the question came up. This is how I thought of it. This is, again, going back to Fan Expo. I went to the Greg Capullo panel.
Okay.
Oh, how was that?
It was amazing. Because, one, Greg Capullo is Greg Capullo,
yep.
Batman artist,
yeah.
Extraordinaire. But he's an extremely nice guy.
Yeah. He's really down to earth.
He did this thing where he came off the stage and he brought the mic to everyone who had a question.
That's dope.
Yeah, and he shook their hands. And then he stayed around after the panel was done and took pictures and was just thanking people. Like, extremely generous with his time. Yeah. I was so happy I went to that. So someone asked him.
Yeah.
He goes, if you could make if you had a choice, you're starting your own company, and you can pick, you know, any five artists and writers to work in your company, who would they be? And he couldn't answer the question off the top of his head because his criteria is completely different from just like a dream team. Right? So I was like, I want to talk about that with somebody who would have, you know, an educated opinion on it. So if that's you could start your own company and you had five artists and five writers currently working.
I have honorable mentions.
That's fine. No, that's fine.
I filtered my, like, my vision.
That's fine, because we might have the same ones. I have a feeling me and you have some of the same ones. I want to do one of, like, all time, because that's even harder. That's even harder.
Five writers and artists of all time?
That's
hard, man. Like a dream
team, living or dead. But for guys currently working, we'll stick to that right now.
All
right,
okay.
So do you want to go all five, or you want to go one at a time?
I guess one at a time.
Okay. So, my number one, well, not in order. This is not in order. But the first writer that came to mind, if I were to start my own company that I'd want on my team, would be Mark Waid. Mark Waid would be a number one writer. And the reason for it is because, one, he's a continuity nerd, right? He knows how to build a universe and stick to the rules in it. But I don't think there's a character who I don't think he can write well. He may not make the greatest run on a character, but I don't think there's one character he wouldn't do good to great. I think it's the safest bet on any title.
Yeah, he did pretty. He did really well with Daredevil, man.
Yep.
Did you guys read his Captain America back in the 90s?
Nope.
I still have to read that.
Check out his Captain America. Yeah. Check out his Flash.
Yeah, that's right. He wrote Flash. I totally forgot about that.
He probably had the most impact on the Flash of any writer.
How long did he write Flash for?
He wrote the Flash for a long time. I know that sounds like a very generic answer, but it was from like early 90s up until Geoff Johns took over.
So that's like a good... What? Wait, that's like a good 10 years.
He created Impulse. He created the Speed Force, and he worked with Wally West. He built up, like, the Wally West that everyone grew to love was because of Mark Waid. Justice League, he created Justice League.
Yeah, I remember.
Legion of Superheroes.
He wrote my favorite story from Justice League.
Which one was that?
Tower of Babel.
Yeah, there you go. Oh,
my God.
Amazing, amazing story, right?
That was my favorite.
And it's fun.
Yeah.
The stories are fun. Kingdom Come.
Yeah, that was great too.
Like, I still haven't read it.
What?
Yeah,
you gotta read Kingdom Come.
What? You've never read Kingdom Come.
That always knocks you out every time.
Holy
you
read it. Man!
It's the same reaction every time.
Oh my God! That is your Christmas present, Jesus. All right. Oh my God.
Yeah, still haven't read Kingdom Come, but I know. Like, I know what happens.
It's not the same.
I know what happens.
You have to read it.
I know.
Every page is just. Oh.
In fairness, to give credit where it's due, that was Alex Ross's idea.
Yeah.
Mark Waid just was chosen as the guy to write it.
Yeah. Right.
But all of that was Alex Ross's brainchild.
That's awesome. Oh my God.
So as much as we like, Mark Waid is like the writer.
Yeah.
It's in a lot of ways.
So wait, Alex Ross personally picked.
I don't know if he personally picked, but I think Mark Waid was one of the people that they chose to write the story that Alex Ross had in mind.
Okay.
Obviously, Mark Waid put his own creativity to it, but like the guy in the older man that's following the Spectre around, that's based off of Alex Ross's father.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, that story, as wonderful as it is, a lot of credit has to be given to Alex Ross. What else did Mark Waid do? I mean, his Superman Birthright. I'd love to see him write Superman 4 50 issues.
Oh, my God. Superman Birthright was so good, too. That was my favorite like Superman story.
Yeah, because he's a guy who really understands and loves the characters he's writing.
Yeah.
And you think you throw him a curveball with... Like, I would never really have thought Mark Waid to write Daredevil because he doesn't come across as a guy who writes dark characters
The thing is that he didn't write him as a dark character.
Right.
He made it suit his writing style.
That's right.
And it worked completely fine.
If not better than other people before him.
And people trash his, like, I've talked to people about his Daredevil run, and they're like, oh, Mark Waid's Daredevil is garbage.
No.
They have you know what? He keeps continuity
just fine
together, right? Yeah. And the thing is that if you were to get into Daredevil just because, okay, yeah, you watch the Daredevil show, right? And you're like, hey, I want to get into Daredevil. You could read Man Without Fear. You could read Born Again. It's not a huge impact, like, if you were to read all of Frank Miller's run.
Guardian Angel. But
I'm saying as a starting point, you could read Daredevil by Mark Waid.
Yeah.
Because he sums up what happens in the past
20-plus
years in 3 pages.
Yeah.
And it's like, here you go. Moving on. Yeah, so this is what's happening now in my life.
Fun. Because Daredevil was a fun character. He was a swashbuckling type of character. He wasn't always like.
It
wasn't like
gritty.
Hell's Kitchen.
Always no, his life wasn't always just horrible.
Yeah.
Right. So Mark. Yeah. I really like how
he portrayed him. And like even now he's writing Black Widow, and I never thought he would like when I saw his name on it. I was just like, he's writing a spy book. What?
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? It's him and Samnee, and they did really good work on Daredevil. I'm still going to give it a shot because they're the best team right now in Marvel. I'm sorry.
There isn't a book that they would say, oh, Mark Waid is writing this, that I wouldn't be like, oh, no, why him?
Yeah.
That won't work.
You'd be like, oh, man, that should be really good.
I'll be like, I'll read it. I'll give it a shot.
And the thing is, when you read it, you're not disappointed.
I know,
like,
I've never been disappointed.
I'm reading all new, all different Avengers. I'm like, this is actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Like that whole Kang story.
I haven't gotten there yet. I read the first trade. I really liked it.
Yeah, that's the first trade. The first trade is Kang.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Because there's that whole build-up. Like, you find out that the guy from the villain from Nova shows up.
Yes.
And they fight him. Then you find out that Vision was actually not Vision. He was Kang.
Yes. No, it was good. Yeah. There isn't. I just feel like you could throw anything at him, and he would make it work.
Yeah.
And that's the type of guy I would want writing my book. Someone who I wouldn't have to worry about. Can he handle that?
From what I've heard, he's like such a easygoing guy.
From what I've heard, he's really gentle kind of guy.
Because a lot of people, when he put out his book Empire, digitally, but for free, comic shop owners were like, "You don't understand what it's like to run a comic shop. You're destroying the industry, blah, blah, blah." He's like, okay, we'll run a comic shop. And he opened up a comic shop.
Yeah, exactly. He's a fan.
Yeah.
He's a hardcore fan of this stuff. Like, he cares. That's what's fun about it.
Yeah.
Okay. Moving on. Who wants to go next?
I'll go next.
Okay.
Yeah. So, the first person that came to mind was Ed Brubaker.
Because
I need somebody that would be on my team, that knows how to write like a really, really good noir book, noir detective, like espionage, just that genre.
Mm-hmm.
That's his thing. That's always been his thing, ever since he started writing. What was the first book that I read from him? Ever since.
Criminal?
I first read... Not Criminal. Criminal wasn't the first book that I read from him. It was... I think it was Incognito. That was one of the first books. I was like, wow, this is amazing. And then I started reading Fatale. And that was great. Velvet came out. And I was like, oh, I'll go backtrack. I read all of his Captain America.
Mm-hmm.
I read...
Batman was good.
Yeah, Batman's really good. It's still coming out. I still have yet to read all of Sleeper. I'm halfway through Sleeper.
I haven't, from Brubaker, speaking of him, I haven't finished Gotham Central, which he teamed up with Greg Rucka on.
I haven't read that.
That is one of the best Batman books that barely has Batman in it.
And that's the thing. Him and Rucka are able to grasp the side of Batman that you don't usually see. Like, not Batman, but, like, Batman City.
The world.
But
that's what makes the characters good.
Yeah.
Is when you use their cast, other than just the character.
Yeah.
When you make use of the rest of the cast, makes the character more interesting.
Yeah, and a lot of the stuff that happened in Gotham Central is, like, really messed up.
Yeah.
Like, the first issue, right away, this guy gets blasted by Mr. Freeze, and his partner gets blasted. Very real world. And it's like, bang, this is what I could do to you, but right. I'm not going to do it. And he walks away, and he's just like,
yeah.
What?
Yeah, no, that was a great... I read the first two trades. They're awesome.
Yeah.
Some of the, like, even the Joker story within that. Oh,
my God. The Joker story was disgusting.
It was, yeah, just so well done. So well done.
So, and, yeah, that's the kind of guy that I would, like, want... If I were to run a company, he's a guy that would be like, hey, I have, like, there's some noir projects that I kind of have. Would you be willing to take them on? Sure. Mm-hmm. And he'd have his own twist on it. I'd probably just be like, whatever, do whatever. And he'd come out with, like, a wicked book.
Would you want a company that just let everybody do their own book? Or would you want, like,
Want to consult with them, like, have different ideas, like, kind of brainstorm together. Not just, like, okay, yeah, like, yeah, you can have your own ideas. Just, like, I kind of want to be in on it, too. Like, see what I could give you. Yeah. Not just, like... Yeah, I'm just a businessman.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to be like, hey, I want to be in on the, like, I want to
know what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the whole fun of it.
So once Brubaker, you get into it, you start, like, brainstorming ideas, you start thinking of, like, different things that could be part of the mythos of this series that you're going to be creating.
Yeah, it's true. Have your fingerprints on a character.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. So Brubaker.
Brubaker, definitely.
Okay, Ronnie, you're up.
Where do I begin?
Did we take it from you?
No, not yet.
Ready first?
Writer first or artist first?
Yeah, we're gonna go writer first and then go artist.
I put Snyder.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Sure, why not?
I mean,
so far all three of those picks
are, like, we haven't really,
mostly because of, like, his Batman stuff, but of course, but
like, even then, his, like, not just his Batman stuff. Have you read his American Vampire stuff?
No.
That's really good. I didn't know he was, like, a good horror writer.
Well, that, of course he is. That's why Batman was good, because he brought the horror elements to Batman.
Yeah. And that's what I loved about it, because, yeah, Batman's awesome and everything, but I don't think there's been much books where they do the horror behind that. And not only just that, but Gotham City itself.
It looks creepy. It's like, you don't want, it's not inviting.
No.
And the point is like, it's not supposed to be an inviting city. It's supposed to be like, hey, you want to avoid that city.
And I mean, like, who would have ever thought of something like Mr. Bloom? Like, you know?
He's super creepy,
like,
man.
That is, like, the most random, like, idea for a bad guy. Oh, shit, it's pretty,
It's like, he's, like, really tall and lanky.
Yeah,
it's,
like, I've seen the build-up to that, but then I stopped following it.
Yeah, it's, like, it's so weird. Like, he's so weird. Yeah. And it's so creepy.
And, like, even stuff where it comes to, like, everything he does with a villain is, like, you could tell he put so much effort into that.
Yeah,
like,
definitely.
The stuff with Joker that he's done is amazing.
Yeah, Death of the Family is great.
Even Zero Year, like, the stuff he's done with Riddler... Like,
only thing with Snyder I find is, one, he has too much of that aesthetic, of the horror aesthetic.
Yeah.
And I feel like some of his stories, they're meant for long runs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where you can't just read him monthly. I find him a little harder to read monthly. I read it monthly and I'm like, wow, that's good. But then when I put it together, I'm like, oh, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
That's why it's really good.
Yeah.
Because when I read it monthly, I get a little lost because there's so much detail to what
he puts
into it.
But if you have, like, the entire story in your hand, it's so much easier to read and so much more like, comprehensive.
Yeah. He was actually going through, Greg Capullo said that when they were doing, I don't know if it was Death of the Family.
Mm-hmm.
And it was extremely, like, dark and disturbing. And he called Greg Capullo and was like, I'm really sorry for writing it so dark. I don't know if you're going through depression and you got to draw all this, and you know, he was like apologizing to him profusely for how disturbing he was making it. And Greg Capullo was like, I drew Spawn for like 80 issues.
Relax, kid.
This is nothing. This is not scary. Scott Snyder was actually going to see a shrink.
Really?
Like, he was like on the shrink's couch, like, because he was like, his mind was going to such dark places writing it.
Yeah.
That he was apologizing to Greg for it.
He looked at the abyss.
And So he was really, really into it.
Yeah, no, like, there are times where I've seen stuff on Twitter where it's him and Greg Capullo. Like, this is when they were still doing Batman together.
Mm-hmm.
And Greg Capullo is just like, what am I supposed to do with this page?
Yeah.
I don't understand what's going on. He's like, whatever, figure it out. Like,
yeah. Scott Snyder was just like, no, you have to put it all in there.
Yeah. And Scott Snyder's just like, I don't care what you do, like, just do it, like, just kind of
yeah, they butt heads at first.
He's just like, what?
Yeah. So, Wade, Brubaker, Snyder. Okay. Start with the artist?
Yeah, no, we'll do artist. We'll go back and forth from that.
Okay. You want to start with an artist, Ronnie?
Okay. You
last?
Jim Lee.
Jim Lee.
He's the first artist I thought of just because of the fact that he's what got me into comics with Hush.
You'll definitely sell a lot of copies.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. The only thing I really love about him is just the art aspect of him.
Yeah.
Like, he can draw, beautiful. Like...
You can draw anything.
I mean, like, people like Tony Daniel and, like even Tyler Kirkman, like, you could see some influence from, like, Jim Lee.
Yeah, tons but, of like, guys.
You can still see some differences.
Tons of, like, Brett Booth, Ed Benes... I all feel like they came from that school of...
Oh, yeah.
Or that influence a little
yeah.
bit.
Yeah.
But no one's quite like Jim Lee. He's no. definitely got a distinct
you can style tell, like, and yeah. detail. Just by the faces and the scratching, like, just the lines on the face and whatnot. Like, you can totally tell that it's him.
Yeah, even, like, suits. Like yeah. You line up different people that draw the Justice League in New 52 and then put it next to Jim Lee's New 52.
And
like, you totally can just different. Tell
Yeah.
I like his, he kind of draws for me the definitive versions of characters once he's drawn them.
Yeah.
It's like the way, what you've seen him, like seeing Superman on top of the building with his foot on the eagle.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like so iconic. And then you got the reverse version of Batman on the gargoyle. The book that he did with Azzarello for Superman for Tomorrow.
Oh, that was so good.
A lot of people didn't like that. A lot of people hated it.
I actually really liked it.
I read it a second time, and it made I liked it a lot more. The first time I was kind of like, "This isn't as good as Hush," because I was thinking this
thinking
is going
to
be this is going to be the Superman equivalent of Hush.
Yeah,
but it was I liked it. I can it's still read it, but it's very different.
It's very philosophical. That's the thing.
Yes,
they go so much into like the mythos of Superman, like, explain, like, why he's there, what he's doing.
The philosophy behind it.
Yeah.
The philosophy behind Superman. And I thought it was actually a good story. I liked it. The art was beautiful. First read, doesn't read well.
No.
I don't think.
No. You have to take your time reading that book. And even when you read it the first time, you're kind of like,
You gotta come back to it a few years later.
Yeah, you come back to it and you'll be like, wow,
that's good.
That was
cool.
Really good. You'll have a better understanding. And especially if you read other Superman books on top of that, before going back to For Tomorrow, you'll be like, I understand why this is so strong.
Yeah.
Why this is such a good book. Like, the people that read it, the people that love it, they have been reading Superman for ages. They love Superman. They've been, like, behind him ever since.
Yeah. I hear a lot of flack from people who actually loved the way the character was before that, with the way that it was. Some people really liked what's it called, Our Worlds at War. I wasn't a big fan of that.
I never read that.
Yeah, it just artistically, Jim Lee on Superman is beautiful. I even like Superman Unchained. Some people didn't like Superman Unchained.
Cause I didn't
it was
really
late.
Like Superman Unchained. It was mainly because like. I knew where it was going at first, and then it kind of lost its way near the end.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like, you were trying to make Superman, you know, not just this guy that just hits things.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, he knows how to use his powers. He's a smart guy.
Did you read Superman Unchained, Ronnie?
Nope.
Scott Snyder.
I don't read much Superman.
Scott, like, Snyder and,
Scott Snyder
and
Jim Lee.
Yeah,
both you should check it out.
I know I should. I know I should.
Your first picks.
Yeah. I don't know. There's something about Superman. I even have that Superman book, the one that you were talking about, where the cover, the iconic Superman cover for Jim Lee is him on the eagle thing. I have that, and I still haven't even... I think I've made it through, like, the first five pages.
Yeah, but that, see, again, you won't really appreciate that story like Jazz was saying. You gotta kind of have a...
You have to have the mythos. You have to have that knowledge.
Yeah, some sort of...
You have to, like, read Superman, like, Superman's Secret Origin. You have to have read, like, Birthright, all these other books. Last Son of Krypton.
Yeah, something that gives you
a better understanding of the character.
Yeah. And sometimes it's hard to find with Superman, but it's out there.
Yeah.
It's out there. Jim Lee is the highest selling issue ever.
Right? Yeah.
X-Men number one.
Yeah.
Was the highest selling comic book ever.
And so, he also created Gambit.
Yeah.
Did he create Gambit?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Yeah. I remember that too. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Learn something new every day. All right. Go ahead.
Your pick for artist. You sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll bring it around.
All right. So, I picked one of the first guys that actually came to mind, surprisingly, I didn't really think of him at first, was Declan Shalvey.
Okay.
You know him, right?
Moon Knight.
Yeah, Moon Knight. He drew, he's drawing Injection right now. And the main reason that I would actually want him as an artist is because he's simple. He can do a dark style book. And it'd be fitting for like noir style book or just like anything.
So him and Brubaker.
What the team would probably be.
Like what else has he done?
Besides that, I think just covers.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, I haven't seen him do much. But the thing is that, like, when he was drawing Moon Knight, it was so simple. Like, it wasn't, like, super detailed, like, how Jim Lee was.
Yeah.
It's not, like, you know, proper proportions. It's just like, hey, this is what a person looks like. You get the gist of it. Moon Knight has a bat in his hand. He's beating people up. Okay. All right.
Yeah, it was simple art, but...
Yeah.
That kind of was part of how I would choose certain artists.
Yeah.
Because there's guys who are, their page is beautiful.
Yeah.
Or their art is, like, super detailed.
Yeah.
But those aren't the guys who I necessarily want.
Yeah. I would want guys that are just like, oh, wow, this is actually really, like, this is nice to look at. It wasn't, like, there wasn't too many lines everywhere. It wasn't, like, pockets everywhere. It's just, like, it's nice. It was simple. It's clean. Just like how David Aja's art.
Yeah, exactly. I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, with comic art, you start to realize... Because I remember when I was first getting back into comics, and I was picking up some books that were not what I would usually go for. Like, I was reading Hawkeye, which was David Aja.
Yeah.
And the Iron Fist, which was David Aja. Yeah. And it was... It didn't look like the Jim Lee that I liked, or Ivan Rice from Green Lantern.
Yep. Like,
there was a certain style that I had gotten used to. Very clean, very... You know, high definition type of comic book art.
Yeah.
And these guys were more.
It
rough,
was just. Yeah.
A little more. But the storytelling, in some ways, was superior.
Yeah.
Panel for panel. The sequencing of it makes their art more. It made it more appealing after a while where I didn't want anyone else to draw it. I didn't want to see those other styles of art because their storytelling was what mattered.
Yeah.
A guy that was kind of like that, who I also met at the con, I wish I could have talked to more, but he seemed so shy. Was Adrian Alfana, the guy who does Ms. Marvel.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
Super nice guy. Didn't have a lineup hardly ever.
Yeah.
And he was only like $60 for a commission, full body.
What?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, really nice guy. So he's another one of those guys where kind of like that what you were saying, it's not overly complicated art.
Yeah.
But the storytelling in it and the style that they bring to the character they're drawing works perfect.
Yeah.
Which I think is an important, like, aspect in picking.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely.
Yeah. Because the... Can I go?
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
So the thing that they asked Jim... not Jim Lee. Greg Capullo.
Yeah.
His criteria for artists, he goes, I don't care how pretty their art is. Can they do it on time? I want someone who works and who's going to get the art done.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's a good point. Because some of my favorite artists...
They never get things done.
They're
on
good
time.
For five issues if
and
you're
then,
lucky,
that's
and then that's it. Whereas what was great about Batman was Greg Capullo did 50 issues or so of it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It was, you knew he was going to be on the book. It was going to be on time.
Yeah.
And the quality was going to be there. So that was kind of how I tried to pick my artist. The quality, consistency, and ability to get a deadline. So I didn't want to take Chris Somni from you.
But you did?
No, I didn't. I saved it for you. So I picked Greg Capullo for one of my artists.
Okay.
Because he is all those things, right? The consistency, he works well with the writer.
Yeah.
And he'll adapt himself to however they write. Because Scott Snyder was very, very wordy, and he had to become more creative on how he brought the picture out in order for Snyder's words to match the page.
Yeah.
It challenged him. And he does long runs. Like, he did Spawn for... Like, I don't like Spawn. 40
issues?
But yeah, he did almost like 60 to 70 issues of Spawn. Okay. Right?
More than
something
I thought.
Something ridiculous. Yeah.
Yeah.
So something, a ridiculous number. And now he's doing some work with Mark Millar. Doing a miniseries with him called Reborn, and he says he's loving it because he Mark Millar doesn't put as much words into his script.
What?
So he's getting to draw all of these things that...
No, when did he announce that he was doing a book with him?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. That's his next thing. It's a
Where's my Nemesis 2?
Yeah. Seriously, I've been waiting for like
ever. Yeah.
So, and Greg Capullo is a guy I haven't seen him draw that many more characters
other than just Batman.
Like, I really like seeing him draw the Justice League in that issue of Endgame.
That was really cool.
And I asked him about that. That was one question I got, if he would ever do a team book. He said absolutely not. It's just too much work. It's too hard. But I like seeing how he drew the Justice. They made toys out of all of
Right?
Yeah.
So I'd like to see him do another superhero, see his take on it.
Yeah. That'd be really cool.
Yeah, so Greg Capullo would be my choice.
That's a good choice, man.
First choice. Writer? Okay. So, since this is a dream team, I know obviously none of this would ever happen, but getting this writer would be my dream, Jeff Johns. Jeff Johns is probably...
Yeah, you know what? He's a great storyteller, man.
Yeah.
I'm surprised I haven't put that down.
Yeah, Jeff Johns. Because, again, he's like a Mark Waid to me.
Yeah.
There isn't a character... He takes, like, the character no one thinks is...
He takes the characters that nobody touches because they're just like, but, like, that's so-and-so.
Yeah, exactly.
And then he's just like, oh, you know what? I'm going to show you how cool this character is.
Exactly.
Like, Hawkman. Nobody ever thought that Hawkman would be that badass. And then you realize, wow, he's this cool?
Yeah.
All right, I could get behind him.
Yeah, his Hawkman was a great run.
Yeah.
I never read Hawkman before, but because Jeff Johns wrote it,
yeah,
he gave it a shot.
It was like $60? Didn't you pay for it?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, it was a pretty good deal. It was a good my first omnibus.
Is that really?
Yeah, it was.
I think my first omnibus was, what was it? I think it was 52.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's not an omnibus. That's like a house. I've been thinking about buying that thing.
I actually don't want it anymore because I want the trade paperbacks. They're so much nicer to like have around.
Yeah.
You want it?
Maybe.
Like $40. I just don't want it in my house.
I was thinking about getting those trades too because they seem more easier to read.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. It was so hard to read this entire omnibus.
Yeah. And the DC omnibuses, I don't know, they've changed now, but in the past they weren't binded as well as the Marvel ones where they don't open as well.
Jeff Johns was another writer on that.
And Mark Waid was one of those writers.
Grant Morrison was on there too.
Yeah.
Keith Giffen.
I think he was an artist. Do you know who
he was the layout guy.
You know who the fourth writer was? It's the great, to me, the greatest writing team on one book ever.
I can't remember who the fourth guy was.
It'll blow your mind.
It was Morrison, Waid, Johns, and Rucka.
Yeah. Imagine that. That's,
and I remember, I know who, like, whose parts are whose. You could totally tell.
Yeah.
Just by the writing style. Rucka's parts were all the Batwoman parts with, and, the Question parts.
Yes. Yes.
And it was like, whenever
I never read 52.
Oh, man. Dude, his parts were like, they'll give you the issues, right? And obviously, it's like, it always goes back and forth. So, I was always looking forward to reading The Question and reading, you know, Renee Montoya and Batwoman. So, I was just like, I can't wait. That and Black Adam.
Mm.
Black Adam is in a lot.
Yeah.
And I think Johns was writing the Booster Gold parts. Morrison, I think, was writing all the stuff in outer space. Because that's how trippy
What was Wade doing? Who was he taking?
Black Adam, I think. That sounds right.
Okay. I've never read it.
It's either that, or he was writing the Elongated Man stuff. It's really good.
Yeah, like, Jeff Johns is just one of those guys where he reinvigorates characters that seem dead.
Yeah, and you know what? He did a really good job with Aquaman.
Yeah.
We were just like, Aquaman, and then he started writing, and everybody's like, he's bulletproof. When did he become bulletproof?
There's so many things that he knows about the character, right?
He's
that...
such a huge DC fan.
Yeah.
Like, before he started properly working for DC, he was an intern, and he would call... Like, before he actually became an intern, he would call and be like, I will work for you for free. I will do everything for you. Yeah. It doesn't matter what I do.
Well, he did work. He did an Avengers run.
Yeah.
Before he went to DC, which I haven't read. I really want to read it.
It's kind of campy.
Yeah?
But it's good.
I heard it was good.
Yeah.
Actually, Rick Remender had art in it. Rick Remender's an artist. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah. His art's kind of whack in that.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I want to see that. I just can never find a nice collab. I just hope they should just put in a nice hardcover edition. The Jeff Johns.
I think it's hardcover. Like just two trades.
They got two trades. Like thick trades.
Yeah, like not like giant thick trades. It's like
14 issues.
Yeah, it's like a good chunk.
Yeah. So Jeff, that'd be my dream because I can't think of a
he's a good storyteller, man. He knows how to like from panel to panel, you can totally tell what he's actually trying to say.
Yeah.
You can't just be like, like you know how Grant Morrison's just, like, all over the place, and you could tell what's happening in the panel, but there's so much more to that panel than there is that he's like, but you have to wait for the next issue, or you have to wait until the next trade paperback.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas Jeff Johns is telling you, like, this is what's happening here and the now.
And he writes a good Superman.
Yeah, you're a wicked Superman.
A lot of people can't tackle Superman and make it interesting. If you want to read good Superman, look for the Jeff Johns stuff.
Oh, my God. Last Son of Krypton. Oh, that was my favorite one from Jeff Johns.
And period. The Brainiac or the...
Yeah, the that's what Last Son of Krypton collects now.
Yeah.
Because it's a giant thing
now.
Yeah.
And he does a story, six-issue story with the Legion of Superheroes, where Superman goes into the future, but the sun has been... eclipsed over by a red sun. So all Superman has is the Legion of Superhero flight ring. And they still look to him, like the Legion of Superheroes, and the whole thing is that Superman was someone to model ourselves after.
Yeah.
So he's in the future with no powers except for flight. It's a great story.
Oh my God.
Good story. And it's Gary Frank and Jeff Johns. I love it.
What? Did they collect that?
Yeah, it's collected. Legion, yeah, Superman and Legion of Superheroes. Check it out. It's good.
All right. Really cool. I'll keep an eye out for that.
Okay. Ronnie, back to you. Jazz. It's your turn.
Oh, all right.
For writer.
So, I can talk about him because we just talked about him. I have to think about a different writer. You know what, man? You need someone that, like, can have fun with something, and they can, like, throw, like, you know how creators will give you head office will give you, like, a fastball, like, this is the idea, go and tackle it. I'm like, what? And they'll kind of just collapse, and, like,
yeah.
It doesn't really work out, right? You gotta find someone who will throw you a fastball, or something that's, like, totally oddball, and, like, you'd be like, what? Like, I didn't think this would be a great book. And someone like Matt Fraction could definitely do that. Mm. Because, you know what? After reading Iron Fist, I was like, I could tell that he's doing a lot of the dialoguing from Iron Fist. The plot is all Ed Brubaker. You could totally tell.
Fraction scripted it.
Yeah, Fraction is pretty much the scripter. Whereas... after that, you read Hawkeye, and you're just like, okay, he's having fun with it. It's a serious book, too. But, like, you could go into it and just be like, you know what? I just want to read Hawkeye, just being Hawkeye. And, yeah. like, he's not like, oh, you know, he's not, like, super serious about things. He's just like, I just want to run a building and, like,
yeah, keep I just want to be safe. A normal guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I didn't, Daryl actually recommended that book to me, and I was like, really? Out of all the stuff like, yeah. that you can recommend to me, I got to go for Hawkeye? And I'm like, it's just the Green Arrow ripoff. Like, that's my DC mentality.
Yeah.
But when I read it, I was just like, this is fantastic. And I didn't understand it yet at the time because I was still new coming back into comics. But
yeah.
it was almost like an indie book.
Yeah, it really was because he had nothing to do with the Avengers.
Yeah.
Whenever someone would, like, a cop would come up to him, hey, aren't you Hawkeye? Nope, not Hawkeye. My name is Clint Barton. This is who I am. Not Hawkeye.
Yeah. Some writers get down to the core of a person.
Yeah.
Not just the adventure
yeah.
of it or who the big bad guy is.
Yeah.
When you get down to the core of, like, how do they actually live? Yeah. What are the things they think about? When he has to go into a battle, yeah. what's his life like after the fact?
yeah.
Because that's what a lot of the book was about.
Yeah. There's an issue where he's rolling with the Avengers and everybody's, like, attacking this giant monster. Shoots an arrow. Monster smacks the arrow back at him. It blows up. He's like, oh.
Yeah.
He gets up. And it's like, oh, hey, are you okay? No, right. I'm good. He goes home. Just drinks a pot of coffee.
but those are the quiet moments are sometimes what these writers do better, right?
Yeah. And like the oddball thing that I was saying, not just Hawkeye, but Sex Criminals. Sex Criminals won awards.
Yeah, I never read that.
And the thing is, like, I didn't think it was going to be a good book, and I was just at the warehouse. It was a dead day. I was like, what am I going to do? I read all the books that I need, like, that I brought with me,
mm-hmm.
and I picked a Damage trade off the shelf. It was, like, Sex Criminals, Matt Fraction, Chip Zdarsky. I was reading through, and I'm like, this is actually really good. Like, it's just a fun book.
When a person's creativity is just left to
do whatever, he's just yeah. like, and the thing is, that was what Sex Criminals was supposed to be. He was like, I'm just having fun with the book. This is me doing my own thing. I don't want to win awards. I don't want to, you know, stand out as much. It's just like, this is my book. Take it or leave it.
Yeah.
And people enjoyed it.
What I am reading from Fraction now that you recommended was his Iron Man.
Yeah, that was really good too.
Yeah, I just got into that. I found a bunch of trades. And I'm like, you know what? I keep hearing that Matt Fraction's Iron Man is a must-read.
It's the best Iron Man.
And Jazz said it's a good read, so I have the first three trades. The first one I read through, it's good.
Yeah, man.
Salvatore La Rocca,
artist. And the thing is that he draws it all the way through.
Yeah.
He draws all, I don't know how many issues he drew, but it's like a ridiculous amount.
Yeah. And I like seeing his art back then, because now he did the Darth Vader Star Wars, and his art in that was gorgeous.
Yeah. And you know what? It's like, he got lazy in between Iron Man and Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
It might not be the laziness. It might be the inker.
Colorist. Yeah, that makes a difference.
Yeah.
It does.
Because you can totally tell that that's the team from Iron Man. Like, the entire creative team. Other than Kieran Gillen.
Yeah.
Other than Kieran Gillen being, like, the writer, that's the entire team that's working with.
Okay.
Salvatore La Rocca.
Yeah, his art.
Right?
He's amazing.
Because he was drawing Mighty Avengers when Infinity came out. Oh, and I was like, this looks nothing like La Rocca.
Yeah.
I didn't peg that for him. I'm like, does he just not care about this book? Did he just want it gone, like, off of his desk or something?
Yeah. No, I
figured, like, it could be, like, the inker.
Probably.
The colorist.
It makes a difference. It does.
Yeah.
Especially when you see how someone goes through an entire run, like, the Fraction Iron Man.
His
work is consistent.
Yeah, yeah.
It's consistent. It's good. So, Fraction for you.
Yeah.
Okay, Ronnie.
I mentioned Lee, or Jim Lee, so I'm going to have to go Jeff Lowe, because I can't have one without the other.
I was thinking of Jeff Lowe, too.
Yeah, he's good at what he does, man.
I just haven't seen him. I don't know what he's done lately, other than the Nova
series. I hear that's actually really fun.
Yeah. But I like, to me, and this is maybe a crazy opinion, he's my favorite Batman writer.
Yeah, he's definitely up there.
Because I feel everything he's done with Batman has been something that I really liked. Yeah. Long Halloween, Dark Victory, Hush, all top-notch books in my opinion. Yeah. And I liked his Superman Batman.
Yeah.
The story of Superman Batman were really good. So, yeah, Jeff Loeb's a good pick. And he directs a good Superman, too.
Yeah.
Not too many people can do
for
both.
All seasons?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really good, man.
He even did the regular Superman book for a while.
Did you really?
Yeah. Yeah, that was one of his first big things that he did at DC, other than, like, the Batman books, but, like, monthly.
Yeah.
He was doing Superman.
That's crazy. I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's got a lot of stuff under his belt.
You should probably look into his Superman run.
And I don't know about other long runs that he's done. I didn't read his Hulk run. I heard it was so-so. There's not much, like...
I heard if you just like Hulk, you'll like that run. That's essentially it.
Yeah, I haven't heard too much about that to read, but well, what are the stuff you like from him, Ronnie? It was your pick. I'm taking it from you.
I liked, well, obviously, Hush.
Yeah.
But then there's stuff like his other, like, Daredevil Yellow.
Yeah.
Was great. Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's what I was going to mention. Yeah.
Spider-Man Blue made me cry.
Great book. Did you read all of them? Hulk Gray?
I haven't read Hulk Gray just because, like, I don't know, Hulk is, it doesn't catch me, I guess, the character itself. But I hear mixed things for Hulk Gray. Other than that, I'm hearing...
Give it a shot.
I hear good stuff for, like, Blue and Yellow, but...
Yeah, give Hulk Gray a shot. Those were some of the first books we did episodes on.
Oh, yeah?
We did all three of those.
Oh, yeah, nice.
And Hulk Gray actually was my wife's favorite out of the three.
Oh, okay.
Because there wasn't much to go off of the Hulk for her, just like you're saying.
Yeah.
But to see the core of him and what he's going through and the pain that the character feels is actually really interesting. Yeah. How the world approaches him. It's actually a great book.
Yeah. Like, he does really good with, like, that whole inner turmoil thing.
Yeah. Did you read Captain America White?
No. I didn't know about
that. I haven't read that yet.
It's good. And it's the same
creative team. That took so long to come out, man. You don't understand.
Well, he started it years ago, right?
Yeah.
But now, when it was announced, it did come out on time.
Yes, definitely.
Which was good.
And they reprinted Zero just in case you like totally forgot about it and just threw that thing out of the trash.
Which was nice.
You got Zero and One together in an issue.
Yeah, which was a nice touch. Yeah, that was actually a really good series.
I've heard good things about it.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't put any of his, like, color series down at all.
Oh, no. No, they all hold a good benchmark. They maintain, and it's the same creative team, which is nice, right?
Yeah.
Do you know that Tim Sale is colorblind?
I did not know that.
What?
Did you just find that out at the con?
No. Oh. I heard that. Jeff Loeb said it, actually, on the podcast that I was listening to, I think, with Kevin Smith. He said he's actually colorblind.
Yeah. What?
Yeah.
That's nuts.
Yeah, it's interesting, right?
Huh. I didn't know that.
Because they were talking about the colors in Superman for All Seasons, how the painted, it's kind of like painted, and it's like they do the horizons and the way the color comes from it.
Yeah.
They were giving kudos to the guy who colored it.
Yeah.
Because Tim Sale was colorblind. So that's, yeah.
Wow, that's crazy.
Tidbit. Jeff Loeb, I like it. It's a good pick. He was one of those guys I was thinking about. artists, take it away.
Jock.
Good pick.
Yock.
Jock.
Good pick. Like it. Batman influence?
Yeah. Because, like, I mean, all the stuff, like, I think All-Star Batman, right?
He does the covers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you could see, like, for some reason, I see a similarity to what, like, to that Jock cover, to what, like, John Romita Jr. is trying to do on that book, and just for some reason, I lean more towards Jock's Batman, even though it's just the covers.
Hmm.
I mean, like, to see that, if I could read that book as Jock doing the whole thing, I mean,
that would have been nice.
Right?
Oh my god. I would totally buy that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even care about any other title. I'd be like, thank you, Scott Snyder and Jock.
Back to the Detective Comics
days.
Yeah,
back to Black... Oh, my God.
I mean, it worked. Like, that's the great thing about, like,
Yeah. Francoville is good too.
That's the great thing about Scott Snyder is the fact that, like, yeah, he does tend to go back to people that he's worked with, but like, there's a reason why.
Yeah,
I mean, it works really well.
Yeah,
not just the fact that they work literally well
together. Yeah.
Jazz.
Who's my next guy here? I know he gets a lot of slack and stuff, but I would pick Jay Lee.
Okay.
Yeah, I just, oh my god, all of his action scenes are awesome. And, like, the thing that really set me off on his art was when he was drawing Batman Superman for New 52. And then he does, like, that panel, like, that, I think it was, like, a two-page spread of Gotham City. Mm. It's, like, overlooking Gotham City, and Clark is, like, it's his first time going to Gotham City. He's doing a news report on, like, the crime waves and stuff. And he's just like, wow, who'd want to come to this city?
Mm-hmm.
This is a terrible place.
Yeah.
And he was able to encompass, like, the fact that, hey, that's what Gotham looks like. You don't want to go into Gotham. If you saw what Jay Lee drew with Gotham, you'd be like, I'd turn the other way, man. There's, like, smoke and stuff coming out of there. I'm pretty sure there were, like, bats flying around and, like, other creatures and stuff. I don't know. No way. I'm not getting picked up by a giant creature.
I do not want to have to worry about just being like opening a window and being affected by, like, fear gas. Like, no. I'm trying to go to sleep.
Why would anyone,
like,
live in Gotham?
Yeah,
exactly. Which Stupid. Is a good question, but.
So, Jay Lee.
Yeah, Jay Lee, his panels are amazing, man. They're, like,
I gotta read his Inhumans work. I heard that was really good.
Yeah, that was really good. I know he's not huge on his backgrounds.
That's the thing I don't like about him.
Yeah, but, like, you get past that.
I like
to understand what's going on.
His art style is the type of art that I would want to have on my wall.
Yeah.
Of yeah.
his characters.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, in a way, it's kind of, like, minimalist.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, when I see his art, I'm like, that would be beautiful hanging on a wall as a portrait. But when I see it in a book sometimes, I'm like, I just, like you said, it's kind of minimalist. So sometimes it throws me off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the stuff that's in the Inhuman books that I saw looks like it goes well with the story, because it seems like it's a lot of, I don't want to say it's dialogue heavy.
Yeah.
But the scenes in it are very much interaction with people.
Yeah.
And ideas.
Yeah.
And the political nature of the Inhumans and what they're trying to accomplish. So I think it would work well in that.
Yeah.
Jay Lee, interesting chick.
Yeah, no, it's just like, when I met him at Fan Expo last year.
Where's he from?
The States.
Okay.
Somewhere in the States, and I didn't really ask. I don't know, I was just like, hey, do you mind signing this? And, like, it was a Nightwing cover. What was it? I think it was a No Man's Land tie-in. And he's like, oh my god, you have this? Like, yeah, why? And he's just like, why would anybody have this? I was like, I just really like the cover, and I'm trying to collect all the issues for Nightwing. He's like, oh, alright, whatever. And
so he wasn't a fan of his own work.
No, it was not. He just did the cover.
Okay.
He didn't do, like, the interiors.
Yeah.
He's just like, why did you have this issue?
Just thought the issue was stupid.
Yeah, I was That's like.
Funny.
All right.
I liked your cover, dude. That's why.
Yeah, he was like, all right, cool. And I was flipping through his stuff, and I was talking to him, and I asked him, hey, what's the next thing that you're working on? He's just like, I can't really talk about it. It's top secret. I'm like, oh, it's one of those projects. He's like, yeah, it's one of those. And he didn't give anything off. He wasn't like, it's a Superman book, or it's a Batman book, or it's an Avengers book, whatever, right? He's just like, it's top secret, can't really talk about it.
Was it Superman Batman?
No. You know what it probably was? Because it came out the fall, like, right after that, was Superman American Alien. And he drew an issue for that.
Did you read that? Anybody read Superman?
No, but I heard it was really good.
Excellent. Really good. That and, if you want to, have you read any of the Superman 4 Rebirth? Get the trade of,
Although I do have, like, the first issue.
Lois and Clark?
Oh, yeah. That's really good, too.
That's really good. It'll set you up, and it'll be it'll make it interesting to read.
Okay.
That book is really cool because
Oh, do you? Okay.
That book is really cool because pre-New 52 Superman is trying to interact with, like, people that he knows, but he's like, I don't know these people.
Yeah, he can't because do it yet.
They're not the people that I know, and he's just like, I can't do it. Like, he's, like, he's literally running around in a black suit.
Is that the case? They're people that he don't know, or, like, they're just, it's a Clark that they don't know.
They don't know. It's a Clark they don't know.
Okay.
And so him and Lois got to be incognito with the sun. It's cool.
And he patrols, this like, Metropolis and everywhere else, like, all over the world, just in case. And there's a point where he's watching Bruce.
Yeah.
And he's just like, I want to talk to him. I want to say, hey, like... I'm like, sold. You have, like...
You're my best friend.
You're the godfather of my kid. Like, what, like... Why haven't you contacted me kind of thing?
But he can't
because he knows that they don't know him.
That's not his Batman. It's cool. Yeah, it's a good book.
That's awesome.
Oh, it's so hard. Like, it's so hard, like...
Just with that.
It's a good book.
The feels.
Trying to read it, it hurts. It hurts. Because, like, he doesn't have... He's not home. And it hurt. Like, it hurts him. I'm just like, oh, my God.
I'm so happy that Superman's back, though.
Yeah, that Superman, too. Yeah. Oh, my God.
I hear that so much.
Artist. Okay. My second pick. This guy gets a lot of slack nowadays. A lot of people don't like him. But he's still one of my favorite artists of all time because of his prolificacy in comics. He's basically drawn every single Marvel character. John Romita Jr.
Okay.
I thought you were gonna say someone I had.
No. He would be a guy I'd love to have. I know a lot of people don't like his stuff anymore. It's like a mixed review. I still like his stuff, but his storytelling is second to none. Like, there's very few people who can tell the comic book story, even though his art might not be as sharp as it once was.
Yeah.
And that, I think, has a lot to do with his inking as well. It gets Klaus Janson. It looks very, like, Frank Miller-ish sometimes.
Yeah. I think that's what he's trying to go for, really.
Well, he's been doing that style since the 80s, right?
Yeah.
When he did Daredevil and the X-Men. But he's been consistently good, even from back then. And he does long runs for books, which is what's nice. Like, he's reliable.
Yeah.
And his storytelling is done well. And there isn't really, like, think about all the DC characters he's never drawn. Do you guys like Batman, All-Star Batman? So far, not a fan?
I'm partial to it, and like...
I hear it's amazing.
I hear it's good because of the writing, but like, I can't, man.
You can't do his art no more.
It's hard. Like, I could go back and
What is it about his art? Because there's other guys that when you think of, like, okay... Their perspective or their how they stretch the body out.
That's
and stuff
what
like,
it is. It's like
the anatomy.
There's a lot of other artists though that do certain things that people just love because it looks like that.
Yeah.
But when John Romita does stuff, they're just like, oh, it sucks.
Jeez.
Do you know, like, you read Black Science?
Yeah.
So like his guys are like kind of have that same look.
They're like they're stick figures.
But his art is praised, and I love that book for the art in it.
Yeah.
So it's funny how, like, there's some things people won't accept from one person, but from, like, the next, it's, like, great.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I love his storytelling.
I really liked the last thing that he drew. I'm pretty sure we've had this conversation before, too.
We have.
The last thing that he drew that I actually really liked was Man Without Fear. Sorry. No. The Spider-Man run.
Yeah, he's my favorite Spider-Man artist of all time.
Not the stuff where where it looked like he was drawing like his dad.
No.
Stuff where
the Straczynski run.
Yeah, where he actually, that's where he defined his style. Like, he was kind of finding himself, like, still throughout, like, the 80s and 90s, right?
Well, once he got onto X-Men, it was definitely his,
like,
own.
Like, you knew what was going on.
You knew John Romita's style, yeah. Junior.
Yeah. But, like, that right there, I was like, that was really good.
Yeah, it was great.
The thing is that it's changed.
You think, yeah?
Yeah.
I recognize his style immediately.
Yeah. Oh, like, you could still tell that it's him, obviously. It's just, like, it's changed not for, in my opinion, not for the better.
It happens.
Yeah.
It happens.
It's like how, who is it? Brett Puth, he stayed the same.
I think so, for some people it depends who they're drawing.
Yeah.
Right? For some stuff it works better, their style.
Yeah.
But like with Romita, he's a guy who's done Thor for a long run.
Yeah.
He's done Cap. He's done Iron Man. He's like every X-Men. Yeah. There's every Marvel character book he's had his pencils on.
Yeah.
And for long periods of time, which is what's cool about it.
Yeah.
So knowing that he can do any type of story,
yeah,
it's kind of one of those things that appeals to me. When a guy, he's not just like a street level artist. Yeah. Where, you know what I mean? He can go with the cosmic stories. He can do a team book. He can do just a street level, like Daredevil.
Yeah.
That's the thing I like about Romita.
Okay, that's a good reason.
Okay, writer. Ronnie, you want to start with writer this time? Let's let Jazz go first. He's always had to go second in all of the categories. You go first. All
right. You okay. Worth it, dude. Yeah. So, we were talking about how Greg Capullo's like, hey, like, on time and, like, being efficient and whatnot. And I was thinking about, like, because you took Mark Waid already. I was I picked someone else now. So, I was like, you know what? You know who's actually a decent writer still from, like, that's been writing for a while? Denny O'Neill.
Wow. You go with Denny O'Neill. Is he still writing?
I'm pretty sure he is.
I don't know, man. He's really old.
I've seen some of his, like,
stuff. I thought of him. Yeah. But I was like, is he even writing anymore?
I think he is. I've seen his name every now and then here, like, here and there, like, on indie books, a few DC books here and there. I know he's really old, too.
Yeah, he's
like, I thought he was, like, almost dead old, but, like...
Yeah.
And I was just like...
He's got a lot more yesterdays than tomorrows.
Yeah! But it was just like, I'm pretty sure he would still write.
Probably.
Like, say if you, like, if they were to offer him a job, like, hey, would you want to write Nightwing for Rebirth? I'd be like, yeah, I'd be on board with that.
Yeah, he's
a guy that would, like, be on time, and...
His pedigree is, like, he's one of those guys who would be, like...
He's a veteran, man.
First ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Because he was, I think, in his era, when he got onto a book, especially in DC, like, he's kind of the reason Batman stuck around.
Yeah.
Right?
Really?
He brought Batman back to the nighttime.
Yeah.
I give him maybe a touch more credit than they give to Neil Adams.
Because, oh, yeah, definitely.
Because O'Neill stayed with Batman for years, and he edited it. So he had his fingerprints on that character for, like, 2 decades straight. But he even with Green Lantern and Green Arrow,
yeah,
the whole Bat family, I can't think of even team books.
Can't even think of, like, a bad book from him.
I can't think of a bad book from him that he didn't do well with Spider-Man. Amazing Spider-Man.
Really?
Yeah, he did.
I never read any of his Amazing Spider-Man.
Before Roger Stern took over Amazing Spider-Man in the early 200s, Denny O'Neill was writing Spider-Man for a bit, and it wasn't that good. And he had to jump off of Superman because he had a hard time tackling Superman.
Really?
Yeah, he's the one who, that famous cover with Superman breaking the chains, Kryptonite No More.
Oh, yeah.
Denny O'Neill took like 12 issues, and he depowered Superman and tried to make a story.
Yeah.
About him, and he said, I just, it became too hard for me to write Superman. Because back then, Superman was too powerful.
Yeah.
So those were, I think, the two things that, and Wonder Woman, he did Wonder Woman in the 70s, where she was supposed to be, like, a feminist.
Yeah.
And took her out of the costume, that gets panned pretty hard. Wow. So he's got his duds, but for the most part, Denny O'Neill's a legend.
Yeah.
Like, there's way more stuff that he's done that's incredible.
Yeah, definitely. The good outweighs the bad, for sure.
Oh, yeah. I only know those bad stories because those are what he said.
He really? Yeah. He's just like, don't bother reading them?
Yeah. Like, those are my bad ones. But
I like how he admits that.
Yeah, yeah. So you have to sometimes, right?
Yeah,
You have to know where you went wrong in order to get better.
I mean, it's cool that, like, he was around for Batman for a really long time, man.
He was the guy who put Arkham Asylum in the books.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's huge. Jeez. And Rachel Ghoul.
Yeah. Like, how can you forget about that?
Arguably,
isn't that the issue that he did where the Demon Strikes or whatever, where
Damien's head,
where Damien debuts.
Damien's like a baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if he wrote that. I don't know if he. I think that might have been
somebody else.
Mike Barr might have wrote that because it comes in a.
Yeah, Mike Barr.
I think it comes in like a nice deluxe trade.
Yeah.
And I think he. I could be wrong though. Could have been Denny. Could have been Denny. Could be wrong. Wow, Denny O'Neill. Deep cut. Wow. All right.
But it's somebody that, like, dude, he, what was he writing? He wrote Nightwing for a while.
I think he wrote the first miniseries that came out in the 90s, right?
Or was that Chuck Dixon?
Denny O'Neill did a four-part series in that first trade, and then Chuck Dixon, I think, took over.
And I know Denny O'Neill, like, probably came over and decided to write.
Did he?
Yeah, because Chuck Dixon wanted to focus on Robin at one point.
Okay.
And Robin was doing, like, really, really well. Yeah, no, he was running Nightwing for a while, too. Yeah, Denny O'Neill. Yeah.
Nice pick. Okay. All right. Ronnie, you go next.
Raiders. Third writer. Wait, I already said that.
You can't even read your own writing.
Warren Ellis.
Wow, okay, yeah.
Oh my god.
Warren Ellis.
Very well respected.
I like his Moon Knight stuff.
Are you reading Karnak?
I haven't gotten back.
Oh my god, man.
But I have them.
That book is so good.
You know how many books I have to read?
I haven't read much Warren Ellis. That's one writer I haven't read a lot of.
Is Stormwatch?
Stormwatch is great. Moon Knight, obviously, like, it was just the 6 issues. Like, you could just read that.
Mm-hmm.
And then Cullen Bunn kind of just, like, I have to build a universe on this. Then there's, obviously, Karnak is coming out. I think there's only, like, one more issue left. Oh, what else did he write?
He's written plenty. Yeah. I know that.
Punisher.
Then you
Punisher's
do,
really good.
Is it Planetary?
Yeah. Yeah, he did Planetary.
Was him, right?
That was him. Yeah.
Never read that. Did, who did, was it Millar? I don't know. I'm thinking of another book that was with Quietly, and it wasn't Planetary. I can't remember it now. Oh, it's going to frustrate me.
The Authority.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ellis didn't write that.
It was Garth Ennis, I think.
Or was it Millar?
Millar took over after the fact.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But he did the
Yeah, I never read The Authority and never read Planetary, but have you read those, Jazz? Planetary? Ennis?
I read the first trade and I really liked it, but I couldn't find anything else.
Authority was awesome.
Oh yeah, Authority is wicked.
So is Ellis your pick as a Moon Knight? Mainly?
It's gonna have to be Stormwatch.
That's because you like Midnighter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Stormwatch, tell me about it. I don't know it. Is it DC?
Yeah.
Yes, it's DC. Now.
Like, well, before, yeah, before it was Wildstorm.
Yeah.
Back when Jim Lee was still running.
So is it a Jim Lee creation? Stormwatch?
I can't remember if he created it.
I don't know.
I don't remember either. But it's... At the time... Wildstorm pretty much made their own Justice League, which was the Authority.
The Authority?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what kind of brought... That's what they reprinted into the DC format.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that's essentially just, hey, their Justice League. Apollo is their Superman. Midnighter is their Batman.
Oh,
so on
okay.
And so forth. Yeah.
Okay.
But those two characters are the only characters that have stuck around... after their move over to DC, other than Grifter, and Grifter's the only other person to actually have a proper book, not done by Wildstorm, but like it was labeled first as Wildstorm,
yeah,
and then it was
generally created,
and then it was a Vertigo book.
What about Jack Hawksmore? Is that in there?
Yeah, none of these, all these are weird. I don't know anything from Wildstorm.
Yeah, but no, they're like, their characters are decent. It's just that you got to get the right people to write them.
Okay.
Because the guy, the team that they had on Sleeper was Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips. He was just a spy fuck all the way through with Grifter. That's it. That's all I'm going to give you. Okay. You can take that as it is. But yeah, Warren Ellis, man, like,
I
mean, he's got.
I give him kudos for like Moon Knight too, because he's the only person that's written Moon Knight that I liked. Like, I've read the.
Did you read
the older ones?
Did you read the Houston run, when Finch was drawing it?
Yeah.
And you didn't
like
that?
It as much.
What?
I didn't like it as much.
I only heard really good things about the Ellis Moon Knight. Like that, they said it's too bad he's only on 6 issues. It's kind of a waste.
Yeah.
Because it was so.
But he only wanted to do 6 issues anyways.
Okay. But yeah, from what Ronnie's saying, like, I'm not surprised that he holds it in such high regard, because I've only heard.
Yeah, no, I put it in high regard too. Like, even though that it is only 6
reviews.
Issues,
yeah,
it's great. Like, even Jeff Lemire's right now, it's so trippy.
Mm.
You don't even know what's going on. Like, it's.
I don't always like that. I don't like when it's so weird that
but
you
like,
don't know.
But like, it works because Moon Knight is crazy.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
So yours was Danny O'Neill, Warren Ellis.
Who are you going to pick?
Okay. So this isn't... To me, this guy's a really great writer, because he gets on a book and he's been writing Spider-Man forever, it seems. Dan Slott.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I like Dan Slott.
I like him too.
I do. I think he's got a good handle on Spider-Man, as much as some people don't like the current thing of Spider-Man.
Max likes Max really doesn't like him.
He's done what do you call it too.
He did a bit of Batman. Yeah, he did Madness in the Asylum or something.
Yeah,
like
Arkham
that.
Asylum. Yeah, but he's when he gets on a title, he really puts a lot into it.
Yeah,
with Spider-Man, you got to think about it. He inherited Spider-Man right after Brand New Day. He was one of like on the writer team. The book was like being shipped twice or three times a month, right?
Yeah.
Once he became the writer of Spider-Man, after everybody hated. One More Day,
yeah.
Right? Which was upsetting. You read that,
yes,
right?
Yes, yeah.
Okay. So to erase all of that Spider-Man history, for him to take over, and look at the track he's laid. Like, Superior Spider-Man was a great book.
Superior Spider-Man was pretty decent. Like, a lot of people give it slack for what it was.
But
the thing
read
is...
Read the whole thing, and you don't want it to end.
No.
It's great.
Yeah.
Spider-Verse was great.
Yeah, definitely. That was, like, one of the Spider-Man events that, like, I was, like...
Spider Island, right?
Yeah, Spider Island.
He, and now he's gonna be doing the Clone Conspiracy. Like,
that looks good, man.
He takes a lot of things that people think are bad ideas, and he makes them work.
Yeah.
Right? And he doesn't keep Peter Parker in the same status quo. He keeps the character the same character.
Yeah.
Messing things up. But it's interesting to see Peter... in a different role in life.
Yeah.
As opposed to always being the down on his luck, can't make the rent.
Yeah.
I gotta work for J. Jonah Jameson all the time. Like, it's cool to see him be J. Jonah Jameson's stepbrother. Or having that kind of relationship, right? It's his uncle, I guess you could say.
Yeah, step-uncle or
his
something like that.
His step-uncle. Like, he does a lot with the character that hasn't been done yet.
Yeah.
Have you guys read A Silver Surfer? Really good.
No, I hear it's a lot of fun.
A lot of fun, really good book. If you like cosmic, you don't like the space stuff, right? I remember you saying you don't like the space stuff. But if you like,
yeah, I'll get behind it. I like Guardians. I like Inhumans. I like the X-Men.
Yeah, it's great, and he's really creative. It's like his Doctor Who book. I don't like Doctor Who, but I like time travel.
Yeah,
but it's consistently good.
Wow.
So I would get Dan Slott.
Did it win an award?
I was nominated for some stuff.
Was
Like
a Harvey Award and an Eisner.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's getting recognition.
Dude, even the art on that is nice. Mike Allred, he's awesome.
Yeah, and it's been him and Allred for like 20-something issues. Yeah.
Good for them for like being able to work together for that long and not be like, oh, I hate you.
I'm surprised they've never released a deluxe edition for that Silver Surfer, because it's a good run. It's
It doesn't get as many sales as any other book, right?
So yeah.
It's not going to get that hardcover. It's not going to get that... omnibus
deluxe edition, I wish it did, because the art in it is awesome.
Oh yeah,
and it's got great concepts, and it's lighthearted. It's not so serious like Silver Surfer.
I'm glad that like there are a lot more books like that now, than there were before, because I like 90s books and like early 2000s was like everything has to be serious, everything has to be dark and gritty, everything has to be kind of like Batman. Mm-hmm. No, it doesn't, man.
No, it doesn't. No, and that's like, what I like Hawkeye. About Marvel. Yeah.
Hawkeye was lighthearted and, like, it was still serious at times. Yeah. He ended up being deaf at the end of that book.
Yeah. Interesting. They let every creator do their take on the character. But think about Dan Slott and his run on Spider-Man itself, right?
Yeah.
Through Dan Slott's stories, I mean, he's not writing these other books.
Yeah.
But he's given birth to, he brought back Spider-Man 2099 through his stories.
God.
Right? Spider-Gwen.
Yes.
Silk.
Yes.
All of those were like kind of his brainchild, and it spread into like this whole spider universe now. Which is pretty awesome when you think about it. So as much as
he slowly created this new universe that we have for Spider-Man.
And it's good.
Peter Parker has his own company.
Yeah, some people don't like it, but I like it.
But you know what? It works. Why doesn't he have his own company? He's smart enough. He's got
the brains.
Yeah. Why not use that?
But the point is to see him still mess things up with his own company.
Yeah.
That's the point of Peter Parker. It's not so much that, Peter can't be rich. He can be rich, but he's not going to be cool in how he's rich, like Tony Stark is.
Yeah. Also, like, he's still Parker, a dork.
He has to have a struggle.
That's it.
Well, that's the thing. Peter Parker is still a dork at the end of the day, right? So...
I'm excited for the Clone Conspiracy.
Yeah.
It sounds like it's going to be pretty epic. But the only problem I have with it is that it's going to be... You got to buy Clone Conspiracy to get the story and Amazing Spider-Man, which sucks. So I'm just going to
wait for the hardcover.
The hardcover, yeah, exactly. But Dan Slott, I'd pick him because I feel like he could be comedic. I feel like he can do cosmic. I feel he can do street level and still make the stories have a certain gravitas to it.
Go
to that slot just to bring something different to the table.
Nice.
Okay. Artist. Who wants to take artist first this time? You go, Josh. All
right.
You've been going second the whole time. You go.
Steve McNiven.
Oh, God.
Okay.
Steve McNiven, because that guy is amazing at art. Like, oh my God. His close ups. It's like the. Like, in Old Man Logan, you have the wrinkles, and, like, it's so detailed, right? You can totally tell, like, he knows the anatomy, he knows, all this about the human body. He didn't just, like, this is how the body moves, alright, I know how to draw.
He did Civil War, right?
Yeah. Oh,
the original Civil War.
Yeah, that was amazing.
I had him for Nemesis.
You had him for Nemesis?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. He was...
That book was, like, who would have thought? What if Batman fought like the Joker?
Mine was Civil War. That was the first book that I saw as art. And I'm like, what?
Yeah,
school, like this entire neighborhood blew up?
It was like high definition in the comic book.
Oh my God. Awesome. And then when I found out that he did New Avengers, I was like, he did New Avengers? I don't need to get this. And JP was just like giving away his comics. I'm like... He has New Avengers? I took his entire run of New Avengers and it had McNiven's art in it. Oh my God, that book was... That book had like one of the best artists on that. But yeah, no.
Finch was on that too, right?
Yeah, Finch, Diodato, LaRocca, who else did they have? Koipel. They had a lot of good artists
Koipel's
on that.
Koipel's nice. Yeah. I like his stuff.
But yeah, no, I would pick McNiven, man. Like... His Batman would be nice. Like even Ronnie said, Nemesis was it was gruesome. Great. It was detailed. You could tell how he was moving.
Had him bound for a writer.
Oh man, it was.
Is he right too, McNiven?
Oh no, wait, Millar did that. Never mind.
Yeah.
Okay.
I said Mark Miller.
Okay, that's a good pick. That's a good pick.
He took that too.
I mean, even his covers now. Like he doesn't do much.
Yeah.
He was doing...
That's the thing. With people like him and John Cassaday, like, their stuff is gorgeous.
Oh, my God.
It's just how often do you get it?
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Until it plays itself out just because of that.
I was going to pick John Cassaday.
It's okay.
But then I was just like, I don't know.
I was thinking him too, but it's just like,
There's not much to go on.
Because they're late all the time. I was thinking Capullo's theory, right? Like, who can you have that's going to do good work and will give you a story consistently? And you got guys like David Finch. I'm like, yeah, you're pretty, but I don't want you.
Yeah, because you'll do 8 issues, and the last 4 issues are just going to be like, meh.
Yeah, Jim Lee, you're going to sell the first couple issues, but then you're going to be late. Yeah. I don't want that. I want to, like, with his Suicide Squad, he can't... It's him and another artist each issue, which is fine.
Yeah.
But, like, give me a full issue of your stuff.
Yeah.
That's why I'm buying this book. I want to see you from top to bottom, and if you can't do the next one, okay, let the other guy take the next one.
Yeah. But John, the thing that I read recently from John Cassidy was his Captain America.
Oh, yeah, you were telling me about that.
That was really, really well done. Yeah. Oh, my God.
But he didn't do the art the whole way through.
He did the first 4 issues, 4 or 5 issues.
Okay.
I figured as much, man. Like,
That's what you... But you know what? His best thing that he did was the X-Men, I think, with Josh Whedon. He did all 25.
Oh, yeah, that was wicked.
That was beautiful.
But when he... I wanted him... to draw all of Uncanny Avengers when he was doing that with Rick Remender.
He only did 3 issues, that was it.
Yeah, I think it was it 3 or was it 4? I think it was 4. Because he did the first 4, and then 5 was Coipel, and then the rest was just Acuna and McNiven. And, oh yeah, that's another book that...
Acuna's good, I like him too.
Yeah, it's good. Simple.
Yeah, I like that style though.
It's like, and the thing is, it worked for the book. That's it worked for Uncanny Avengers because they were in a distorted time frame and like
it wasn't going with everything else in the universe.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good.
But yeah, McNiven's art in that, like when I saw that he was on Uncanny Avengers the month the first issue that he drew came out, I was like, no way. And I was just supposed to be like, oh my God, this is amazing. It's so good.
We should drink every time Jazz says, oh my God, we won't be able to leave this place.
Yeah, seriously.
You don't understand, like, because I peeled through each issue of Uncanny Avengers, and you read it, right?
Yeah.
You read it?
No. Wait.
Uncanny Avengers, Cap, Havoc. Oh
yeah,
my God.
Yeah. I have it.
So, I was like, oh, what? Scarlet Witch and Rogue are going to be fighting? Because Rogue was just like, I got to fight, like... He took Wolverine's powers, like, yeah, I'm going to take her down because she's going to try to take down our entire universe. And when I saw it was just an entire page of her just gutting Scarlet Witch. I was like...
This is McNiven's art.
Yeah, I was like, oh my God, that was beautiful. It was gruesome, but it was beautiful. I was like, it was amazing, oh my God!
Oh, man.
And right. I would go back and I would reread all of these issues. I would pull out, like, I wouldn't mind pulling out all those issues. All those, what, 30-something issues?
Yeah, I think 25.
Yeah, 25 but issues. Don't
read the Access tie-in.
Don't read the Access tie-in.
That's always the caveat.
Yep.
Okay, we're on artists, though. Did you pick an artist?
You stole McNiven. Kenneth Rockford.
Yeah, that's
right. Okay, yeah. Interesting.
He's really different, too.
Yeah.
Especially for, compared to, like, a lot of the artists now. It's not like, oh, he's like Jim Lee. So-and-so.
No, he's got a style. Yeah. He's got a style. I like his stuff. Yeah, I liked his stuff in the Superman books.
Yeah.
He was doing. The story sucked.
Wow, really?
Yeah, it was a shame.
It was Lundell, too.
Yeah, it was a shame because it looked great. But then the story wasn't good.
I wanted
which was to, disappointing.
I yeah. wanted him to do the whole run for Red Hood and the Outlaws when New 52.
Yeah, I like his
and
art.
He did like the first 6 issues.
Yeah. Disappointing. Yeah, Rockefeller, that's a good pull. I didn't think of that.
What is he doing now? I know he's doing covers for Superman. Those covers are amazing, man.
I like those covers. That's him.
Do you like the family
the one that just came out?
The family portrait one that he put out?
Great issue.
Oh, that great that issue. Cover's nice. Yeah.
Superman, and the best part about it is Superman's barely in it.
Really?
That's how you gotta write Superman. You gotta focus in on the character. But yeah, that cover's great. I looked at it, I'm like, this
the
is
family
awesome.
Portrait, yeah, that was so cool.
Yeah, so good. So good. Rockefeller. That's a nice pick. Good job, yeah. Ronnie.
What made you think of Rockefeller?
Red Hood. God damn it.
Really? That's it?
Yeah. And on top of the fact that, like, he has the Ultimates books that every time I walk by here and I see that whole collection, I just, like, I want to pick it up just for the art.
I hear the writing's all right in that.
And every time, like, I see, like, an issue and he does a cover and it's on the shelf, I'm just like,
yeah, I like
wish I was reading that just to see. Yeah.
Yeah, I hear that. I hear that.
Like, it's on a different level where... Like, it's he is definitely one of those guys where you'll see a cover and you have an interest in it.
And the thing is, like, his cover's always grassy. You're just like, I'm gonna grab that.
Yeah.
You're gonna eventually buy that book. All
his especially covers if more than the...
Especially if he's doing the book. Like, it's just page after page and it's like...
And it's so mesmerizing, man.
Yeah.
The color, like, whoever does his colors and his
that's
inks.
It. Yeah, that's it. It almost finishes, looks painted. Yeah. Or like, it's not.
It's awesome, man.
I like it.
He's good. He's got a good team behind him.
Yeah. Okay, my pick is. I was trying to think of somebody who that didn't quickly come to my mind, but is consistently good and does. Variety on the page. Cliff Chang.
Yeah, Cliff Chang is awesome.
I really like his Paper Girl stuff. I like the tone of it. He brings a tone to a book. He did the same with Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
And both of those books are very strong female characters.
Like, yeah.
Depicting them in a wide variety of settings and
not
just showing like sexified girls. Even the way he drew Wonder Woman, it wasn't like Diodato back in the day.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it was all pinup. It was storytelling, in motion, what makes Wonder Woman actually powerful. It's not just necessarily her stature, but...
Yeah.
So he brings that out, I feel. So, have you guys read his Paper Girls?
No, but I read his Wonder Woman.
Yeah, Wonder Woman was good.
Wonder Woman was really good, man.
Yeah.
If you were to read a Wonder Woman...
You'd like the Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
But, Paper Girls. Check out Paper Girls.
Yeah, I might get the trade paperback.
The book has, the coloring of it, it's very different from the DC stuff he did, but it has like this...
Because it's like one color, but then everybody else is like,
their really color. Interesting. It's really interesting. Check it out. His stuff in there is pretty great.
Yeah.
Real detailed. Yeah, so I'd love to see him a long run on a book.
Yeah, I can't wait to like... have him. Not just that, like, Wonder Woman was, like, really long, but, like, you know, there was the filler artist.
Yeah.
I have heard I'd like that. As Wonder Woman.
There was the filler artists that were actually, like, you know...
It fit his style.
Yeah.
It kept the story looking...
And it worked.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, there's some artists that can't actually do that.
No.
Like, they'll fill in and you'd be like, who is this guy?
Oh, he's got some nice Batman covers, too.
Yeah, Cliff Chan, he did Legends of the Dark Knight covers.
He did that poster of that famous, not famous, but the Miss Marvel ripping the shirt off.
Yeah, that was cool.
Cool cover.
That's a cool cover.
Yeah. He's a good, I find he's a good artist for females without objectifying them.
Yeah.
Which often happens in comic books.
Yeah, like way too often now.
Yeah. All right, I'll go with the next writer.
All right.
Going with Cliff Chang, I'd want to see him on a book with Greg Rucka. Greg Rucka writes female characters like none other.
Really well, yeah.
He almost always does female characters now.
Yeah, dude. Are you reading Lazarus? Is anybody reading Lazarus?
I've read Lazarus. Lazarus, Wonder Woman, Batwoman.
Batwoman was sick.
Stumptown.
Hey. Oh, sorry. No. I can't. No, that one.
This Batwoman was sick.
I couldn't.
You didn't like that?
I couldn't.
What is wrong with you?
That art was great, too.
Oh, my God. James Williams III.
Those panels. Something else, man. But, yeah.
The way that he paints that stuff. When he was drawing Batman for Grant Morrison. God. It was amazing.
But, yeah, Greg Rucka and Cliff Chang, I think they would kill on a book together.
Yeah, they would. They would definitely. Oh, my God.
I'd love that. All right.
We can't even think about it.
Greg Rucka, there's not much to say, but everything he writes is worth reading, pretty much.
Yeah, like, I haven't read a book where I'm just like, oh, Greg Rucka?
No, everything I've read from him has been tops.
I recently reread the Lazarus hardcover because I'm going to be buying the second hardcover very soon. I promise, Daryl, I swear to God. I peeled through it, man. I started it and I finished it and I looked at the clock. Like, when I started reading it, it was like 12 o'clock in the morning. And I look back, it's like 2 o'clock. I'm like,
oh. Yeah.
Wow, I peeled through it in 2 hours.
Good book.
It is a really good book. Great. Oh, what else did he write?
Oh, he's done Batman. He's done Superman. He's
Other than
done
that, he did Queen and Country.
Queen and Country.
Queen and Country is so good.
He's done a ton of stuff.
Yeah,
he's done good long chunks of it, which is nice.
His background is more so like military-esque, military espionage.
Yeah, you would like Greg Rucka stuff, but he writes real good, strong female characters. Yeah,
like
I feel like I have some of his Batman stuff.
Yeah, Queen, he definitely did. Queen and Country was a girl too.
Yeah, Whiteout.
Yeah.
Stumptown.
Whiteout was the prequel to
Queen and Country.
Queen and Country.
Was it?
That you didn't really have to read, but you could read.
There's like a tie into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, Greg Rucka's... I don't know. There's very few people who write like him. Consistently good, but makes... Again, the female character brings out the strength in them without making them like a Harley Quinn is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I do have his... I would like to see Greg Rucka write a Batgirl book.
Like, which one? Which Batgirl?
Barbara Gordon?
Any.
Okay. You want him back on Batwoman? He said the only way he'd come back to DC is if he gets to write Wonder Woman or Batwoman. That was it.
And he's writing Wonder Woman. Yeah. Oh my god. I'm so excited for that book to be released. I want to see it
in trade.
Yeah.
That's
the way you got to read it, though.
Yeah, yeah. I think you're right.
Because the odd numbers... It's
going back and forth between...
present to past.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they feel like two monthly books.
Yeah.
Instead of...
So when you go back to read it, you're like, I don't remember any of this.
Yeah. No, me neither.
Yeah.
I've had a hard time with that.
Yeah. That's why, like, when I first picked up... I picked up the first two issues, and I was just like, what's going on here?
I like both stories, but they're hard to keep up with and remember sometimes.
And not just that, the art is totally changes. Different.
Yeah. On purpose. Because in trade, they're going to read great.
Yeah.
Those will stay on the shelf for a long time.
Yeah, they're going to be amazing.
Greg Rucka is the man. All right, you go with the writer, Jazz.
I was thinking of someone that can, like, do a really messed up book.
All the guys you picked so far, except for O'Neill, but even he could do it.
No, I mean, like, Ed Brubaker does a good book via noir.
Okay.
Right? Matt Fraction can do a wacky book. He could do kind of serious book. He could do like a whatever book. Like, he'd take it as is, right? Denny O'Neill, he has that serious tone. Whereas, like, you know, he has the sass in there, the sarcasm and whatnot. But like someone like Jason Aaron, he's really messed up. Have you read Scalped?
No.
Jason,
but I've read Thor, which is great.
Thor is great, but. Because of Scalped, if I ran a company, I'd be like, yo, just put out, like, the most messed up book that you could think of. Here's your artist. I would pair him up with McNiven on purpose, because McNiven loves drawing messed up stuff like that. Because I was talking to McNiven about Old Man Logan, and I got him to sign my cousin's trade paperback.
Oh, she told me. She told me the page.
Yeah, and the page was... When you know when he's fighting Red Skull and he's in his lair, then he picks up Captain America's shield.
Which book is this?
Old Man Logan.
Oh, no, I didn't see that.
He picks up the shield and Red, because he becomes a pacifist, he's like, oh, you don't have the guts. He puts the shield on and he beheads Red Skull. With Captain America's shield.
This is in the recent books?
This is in Old Man Logan. Not the recent Old Man Logan. Like, the original Old Man Logan.
Oh, with McNiven.
Yeah. And I was like, that is so messed up. This needs to be, like, he needs to be with another messed up writer. So that it could be like, you get...
Jason Aaron's a good pick, though, because he could do pretty much anything.
Yeah. It's like, what is it? Apparently, Southern Bastards is really good.
Yeah, I heard that's good. I heard I haven't heard anything that he's done that isn't recommended.
Yeah. And like I'm reading Scalped right now, and that's so good. Like I don't mind spending the money on those hardcovers cuz it's that good.
Okay.
Jason. It's really well like
it was on my extra
list. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that's See, with Jason Aaron, with that book specifically, it's like, it's such a dark tone, and it's so messed up, because it's Aboriginal people, right? It's Native Americans. Right. So, they're trying to, like, take back their land, trying to figure out, like, what's going on, and, like, you know, just be themselves, but, like, there's one Native American that's just, like, business, and, like, things have to be done this way in order to survive. Like, right. You need to be adaptable, but, like, everybody else is kind of just like, yeah, I'm fine with the way that I'm living. And Jay, like, no, but Jason Aaron's, like, able to grasp that kind of, like, concept. He's got scalp. He's got Southern Bastards is very similar.
Okay. Good pick. Yeah. I like that. Ronnie?
Millar.
It's a good pick.
Mark Millar.
Yeah. People don't realize how much influence he's had on stuff.
Yeah.
That is on the screen. Like, Civil War was Mark Millar.
Yeah. Yeah.
What stuff do you like from him, Ronnie?
Nemesis.
That's it! You've only read Nemesis from him! You know what?
That's my holy grail. No, I've read Civil War, too.
Other than Civil War, like, what else have you read from him?
Did you read Jupiter's Legacy? I haven't read that. But check out Chrononauts and
I'm pretty sure I have
Huck. That. With Raphael really Albuquerque, yeah. Have you read that?
Huck is really good.
Yeah, Huck is really good.
Did you read MPH?
No.
MPH is really good, too.
How about the Starlight? That was a really good series. I really liked Starlight.
Who drew that?
Oh, I think... Addy Granov, I think, maybe?
Is it really? No.
Could be wrong. Wanted. I could be wrong.
Oh, you read Wanted?
And Ultimates.
Ultimates, there you go.
I reread Wanted recently, and that was like...
I never read Wanted, but
you should get around to reading it. That was like a definite classic.
I have it.
Actually. I've seen the movie, but
oh my god, no! It doesn't do the movie. No, the movie doesn't do the book justice.
No, it does not.
Also, Super Crooks is like if the X-Men were Ocean's 11.
Okay. Okay.
Can you get behind that? Sold.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always interested in stuff that Millar's doing, depending on the approach he's taking. When he does more of the safe approach, where it's not going to be, like, Wanted. Not a big fan of that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But when he just does a good, like, I thought Huck was great.
Yeah.
And the art was great in that, and Chrononauts was really interesting. They're short little series, but good.
And I've read MPH, too.
Yeah.
MPH was sick.
Millar... He was a protege of Morrison.
But now they, like, butt heads.
Yeah. But, like you said,
Ultimates... You guys hate each other.
Ultimates is, like, the blueprint for the Avengers movie, right? And did you ever read Superman Red Son? That's an amazing book.
Have it.
Yeah, that's a good
amazing.
Superman.
Amazing. Did you read it yet?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. So who did Starlight? You got it there?
Oh, no, I didn't even, like, fully look.
I don't know if it's on... I think it might be on the bottom. Is it there?
We don't even have it.
Oh.
All right.
You gotta check. Oh, yeah. That's a good book.
Okay.
It's a good book.
Yeah, I'll check it out. I usually like everything that he puts out. There's nothing that I'm just like,
Some people who don't like his style.
Some people really hate him.
Yeah, some people really hate him, but he is a good comic book writer. He knows how to... He knows his craft.
Yeah.
He knows his craft.
And the thing is, like, it's simple. This is the story.
Yeah.
That's it. Now we're just going to have fun with the rest of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I like and he's no longer with any of the big two. Like, he just, it's his own imprint, Skybound, does it with Image.
Yeah.
Creative freedom. And all of his stuff is turning into movies, right?
Chrononauts is getting a movie.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Cool.
Pretty sure.
That's cool.
Can't remember what the other book was that's getting a movie.
Well, he did Kingsman. I didn't see that. I didn't like...
It was good.
I didn't like Kick-Ass. Wasn't a fan of that.
I didn't really like the book either.
Kingsman was...
Didn't read the book, but...
Kingsman was better than Kick-Ass, though.
Okay. Yeah, definitely. The book for Kingsman was so much better than the movie. And there were times, like... Because I read the book before watching the movie. And my cousin read the book before watching the movie as well. So when we went into it, did you watch Kingsman?
No.
Did you read it? Are you gonna read it?
Possibly.
Haven't read it.
Are you gonna read it? You watched the movie, though.
I'll borrow it.
Okay. You watched the movie, though. Anyways, there's a part in the beginning You know, like where they're, you know, when they go into the, this like place. I don't know. I'm at a loss of words. They're in the Arctic.
Okay.
In the beginning, yeah, right? Yeah. Sorry, I had like a brain fart. And the spy is trying to rescue Mark Hamill.
Yes.
So Mark Hamill is actually Mark Hamill in the book.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So so the guy that kidnapped him is kidnapping all the celebrities that he likes and all the nerdy guys that he likes.
Oh, wow.
So he even like Mark, I'm pretty sure Mark Miller even put himself in the book. He's just like, yeah, I even got like this this European comic writer that's like really good.
Don't kill me.
Yeah. And so in the beginning, this spy comes out of nowhere, takes him, and like he's like rescuing him. He's like, yeah, don't worry, I've done this a million times. And he's on a snowmobile, there's like this gap, he's being all James Bond like. He flies off and he pulls on his paracord to like release the parachute, right? And it just doesn't work. So then you just see the snowmobile just slowly go over, and they're chasing him, and they're just looking at him like, did they just commit suicide? And it blows up. Well, it doesn't blow up, it just crashes. And then like a panel later, you see the parachute, yeah, explode, and it just kind of falls. You're like, well, that happened.
That sucks.
Yeah. And the thing is, like,
that's in the movie or in the book?
This is the book. So in the movie, when me and my cousin were watching it, that's what the opening scene was.
Oh, you were waiting for
it. Me and Miara were dying the entire time. We were just like, oh, is it gonna happen? And then like he just gets just sliced down. And I was just like, oh, alright, I'm happy.
Either way.
But yeah, no, that book is really good, man.
Kingsman.
Yeah, it's wacky, it's violent, but like that's kind of expected with this kind of book. It's a spy book, it's gonna be violent, it's gonna be ridiculous. Mm-hmm. It's Mark Miller.
Yeah, you never know what to expect with him.
Yeah, exactly.
It's either extreme or
like kind of,
yeah,
it's there.
Toned down.
Yeah.
Okay, what we on artist? Everyone got their writer in?
I think so. I got one more writer though.
Yeah, I got one more writer, two more artists. Okay. For my artist, I'm gonna go Francis Manapul.
Nice.
Ooh. Love Manapul. I love his style. He's a local guy, super nice guy. But on top of that, his art is, to me, I love it. Anytime he's on a book, I'm interested in seeing how he lays out the panels. Because he always does it in a very creative way. I don't know if you checked out Trinity.
No, he's like, yes.
Did you see when it's a Superman page?
Yeah.
He does like the Superman crest.
Yeah.
With him flying, it's really cool.
Did you ever read his Detective Comics?
Yes.
That was really good.
Yeah.
I liked how he laid everything out.
His layouts are so distinct, so unique. His Flash, I don't know if you read his Flash.
That's really good, too.
His Flash layouts, the story. It was his first crack at writing, so he was really making his bones doing that. You can see that he still had some growth, but the stories all in all are really good, but his panels and layouts are just great.
Yeah.
His Detective was good. It didn't end as strong, the last arc. I didn't like it as much.
Yeah.
Not the last arc. The first arc, Icarus.
Yeah.
It ended with, like, an annual, which kind of...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't as strong as the book was going.
I have to trade for that.
But his... did you ever read him and Geoff Johns on Superboy?
No.
It was Adventures of Superboy. When Connor Kent came back to life, it was really good. And it was,
what?
Like, a lot of quiet moments. And him and the different members of the Teen Titans. It was like an issue. Each issue was him and a member of a Teen Titans just having like a talk.
What?
While he lived in Smallville. It was really good.
They did a book like that?
Yeah, really good.
No.
It's beautiful.
The only Superboy book that I've read was the one that Jeff Lemire wrote.
I don't know that one.
Really? That was just before New 52.
Yeah.
It was nominated for an Eisner Award.
Are you sure it's not the Geoff Johns one?
Yeah, I'm sure. No, Jeff Lemire.
Okay.
He was drawing it with some other guy that, like, no.
Try looking for this.
Yeah.
Manapul and Geoff Johns.
Yeah.
Really nice book.
Yeah, I'll definitely check it out.
Yeah. And I'm happy that Manapul is getting more and more, like, notoriety now. Like,
yeah,
seeing
definitely.
Him go from.
He went from, like, he's just kind of there to, like,
Boom.
Trinity's, I think, could be a really big book.
Yeah.
Tackling all of the you know, three top dogs.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's how I wish they did it for, like, the movies start. Like, have Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman in one movie other than just, like, right after Batman vs. Superman and then do the league.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're obviously not basing their movie products off of what comics work for them. Yeah.
But
can't get it all.
Yeah, that's movie stuff.
Ronnie, who's your artist?
Yeah, I really need to start Alex Ross.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Alex Ross. And the reason why I picked him, even though I haven't read like Kingdom Come and that book he did for Marvel.
What was that book he did for Marvel? You mean Marvels?
Yeah.
That book what?
That sucked.
No, what?
They didn't know.
I swear it sucked.
No, it didn't.
Book is amazing.
Ronnie,
what is
you gotta go back and read those two books, and then you can come back and say Alex Ross. Come on now.
Okay.
No, pick a different artist.
No, the reason why I picked them is because I when Jess told me five artists, five writers, because I was like, okay. If I was going to do that, I want a team that could cover, like, they could do any type of book, and I would have artists that could draw to that tone. So if I wanted a realistic person, Alex Ross.
Yeah, Alex
if
Ross.
I wanted someone cartoony or, like, whatever, like, okay, I got my Jim Lee, and I got Jock for the real artistic kind of, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, fine. Other artists. That's why I have like a whole bunch of like. I mean, okay, he's not.
Rockefeller was a good pick.
Right. Yeah.
All your picks have been good. I just think his books are going to be all special events. He's going to be the special events guy. Guys who need a year in advance to start.
That sounds
like to make the schedule.
I mean, I like Tomasi.
He's
Gleason,
yes.
Right under
I like Gleason, too. I was going to pick him.
Gleason, him and Tomasi, just...
They kill it.
Yeah.
They capture those moments.
Those guys
Batman
are...
Batman and Robin.
Yeah.
Now they're on Superman.
The father-son thing.
I love
like,
it.
Yeah. They're the guys...
They know what they're doing.
You know what, man? They're like how Wade and Samnee are...
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
For DC.
Yeah, you're right.
It's great.
They work
whatever
together
they touch...
Yeah.
You're not going to be disappointed.
Yeah.
You're not going to be like, oh, he's writing that. Oh, he's drawing that.
Yeah, it's true.
And they manage to keep it like, oh, look, it's real comic booky, but
yeah,
the feels are there.
Yeah, you're right. It's true.
There's a lot of emotion put into it. And, like, that's the thing.
And it doesn't, like, the art doesn't take away from that.
No.
Yeah.
That's the crazy thing.
What I liked about their Batman and Robin run was the fact that they gave emotion back to Bruce. They weren't just like, he's just Batman. He's only Batman. It was like, hey, he has a son now. He has to look after him.
Especially,
I really liked that series a lot. And I really fell in love with Gleason's art. I almost felt like it got overlooked because of the Snyder Capullo run, but I would highly recommend the Batman and Robin.
I mean, not only that, but that issue where there is no dialogue.
Oh my God, don't talk about that.
But that shows how good an artist the person is, right? That's what made me appreciate him. Because at first I was kind of like, I don't know if I like his art. It seems a little kiddie to me, but that issue there...
That changed it.
And there was some times where I'm like, oh, all his panels are dark, so it's like a cheat.
But
know?
No, but it felt. But that's the tone of the book, too,
but
right?
That's the thing. When I read that issue, I was like, what great storytelling that I was able to feel so much without a word being uttered until the end where he reads a letter from Damian.
Yeah.
Like, that sold me on the team, and I'm like, I'm sticking with this book.
Yeah.
I loved it. It was one of my favorite New 52 titles.
Yeah.
Definitely. Can't wait to get those books right.
And the thing is, there wasn't a lot from New 52 that, like, stood out.
No.
That will stand the test of time? No.
Yeah,
but those two Batman books will definitely.
Yeah, that, Wonder Woman, and I can't even say Gail Simone's Batgirl. Like, it was good.
No, that one, I don't think that will.
But it was, like, it wasn't, like, groundbreaking as
Aquaman will be remembered.
Yes, definitely.
And the Justice League.
Justice League, just because it's like they started out with the Jim Lee.
Well, it was Geoff Johns the whole way through.
That
and the
too.
Dark Side Roar was really good with
Fate
Bach. That was excellent. Oh, ended on a big high.
That was amazing.
I want that Mobius chair Batman statue. And I want
that would
to
be
light
a
up.
Giant statue that would probably cost you an arm and a leg.
And
you might as well be Bucky after this point.
I want it to light up, man.
You got a last an artist?
I got two more artists.
Two more artists, yeah.
I can go with a Sad Ribic. His art is nice and clean. It's like you can tell painted that it's style. Like kind of painted. Yeah. And like the way that he drew. Oh my god. You've read Thor, right?
Yeah. So that was great.
Yeah. There's like a panel where there's just a dead monster and you're just like, what? How did that get there? Like, it's so beautiful. It's such a beautiful 2-page spread. Like, yeah, there's death and destruction in there, but like
that book had such scope with his art, like,
yeah,
it really added to the, it made the story feel epic. Like, this was a story of,
like, you, like, this is gonna go down in history.
Yeah.
As, like, a great Thor.
There was something book. About it that, there wasn't art that I had seen in other books like that. Especially for the character, it suited it perfectly.
Yeah.
For how epic and the scope of the story was gonna be, traveling through, you know, thousands of years at a time and encountering himself at different stages of his life. It was incredible.
And the thing is that the way that they told that story was like, hey, there's three Thors. You think that they're going to be like their own separate stories, but then there's that one issue where they're just like, who are you?
Yeah. It's awesome. Yeah, it was great.
And young Thor is like, get Mjolnir. He's like freaking out, like,
yeah,
I'm gonna touch that. I'm touching that later.
Yeah, it was cool. I didn't think I would like that run. I didn't know if it was for me, but
I collected that entire series from start to finish, and I was like, I regret nothing. Yeah, this was a great book.
I haven't continued with Lady Thor, but that
are we calling it Lady Thor?
Lady Thor, yeah. But that first run was great. I heard the Jane Foster Thor is holding up just as well.
Yeah.
Aesop Rubik art, man. Good pick. Another special summer event artist. Okay, writers. Fifth writer for me, Tom King.
Oh, nice.
Tom King right now, everything he touches is gold.
Yeah.
Read Omega Men.
Yeah, I still have to read that.
Incredible. Art in that is really good. It's the trades out. It's a 12-issue set. It's fantastic.
What?
Vision is fantastic. Probably the best book on the shelves in everything. Vision is going to win awards like crazy.
Yeah, definitely.
And now he's doing Batman, which is really good. He was a CIA agent.
Yeah.
So he knows how to do espionage.
You didn't know that?
No!
Yeah, he worked for the CIA.
What?
I swear I told you this
before. Yeah. So he knows how to write real government espionage for real.
Yo, that's can he write...
That's what Sheriff of Babylon is about.
Can he write a Splinter Cell comic? Oh my god, that'd be amazing.
He probably could.
Yeah, he probably could.
Oh, that'd be great.
But he writes great superhero stuff too, which is impressive.
That's why Grayson was so good.
And Grayson.
That's what he was pulling from.
Oh yeah, my god. CIA.
Yeah, that's why Grayson was so good. So everything I've read from him so far has been... probably the best thing I've read so far in the last little while. So Tom King, he earns his place for him to be put on Batman after Snyder.
Yeah,
everything before that has to be top notch.
Oh my god!
So I'm looking forward to seeing how he goes on with.
He's former CIA. Yeah, that's so badass.
He was in Afghanistan.
Oh my god, that's so cool.
Yeah. So Tom King, that'd be my fifth pick.
Holy crap!
Wade, John, Slott, Rucka, Tom King.
All right.
Getting my lineup for writers.
All right. My last guy, because I've been sticking to more realistic writers and, like, they've been more down to earth than anything else, I'm going to go with Rick Remender because he has this huge scope of what he can write. And it's not just like, he's got Deadly Class, which is street level, right? But it's like a different kind of street level where there's all this mythos behind an assassin school. And mafia guys send their kids there to learn how to be assassins and stuff.
There's a lot of depth to what he writes because he puts a lot of personal experience into these characters that are far-fetched, but he communicates a lot of pain through them.
Yeah. And the thing is, a lot of Deadly Class is what he went through when he was a kid.
Yeah, that's right.
Which is insane. I don't know how he could, the fact that he went from that to, now.
Well, people say, I like his
superhero stuff, like for Marvel. Yeah. I loved Uncanny Avengers. I liked his Captain America and Dimension Z. I thought that was good.
Uncanny X-Force, man.
Uncanny X-Force was excellent. But a lot of people say his best thing is Fear Agent from Dark Horse. They say that's his opus, which is one of the first things he did. He was broke when he did it.
Yeah.
He did it with Opeña and Tony Moore, I think the guy is.
What?
Yeah. It was that team. And it took him a while to get everything out because of money. But
Say
Fear Agent is the best thing he's ever done.
Oh my god.
Yeah. So Rick, that's a good pick. Definitely a good pick.
Yeah, no, because like the thing is that Rick Remender, the way that he told Uncanny Avengers, you know that he could write street level. Okay, you knew that from the first four issues. And then they go off and they do their thing in space.
Oh, Black Science too, right?
Yeah. It's a
perfect example of like...
Exactly. And the thing is, he can change it. Dimension hopping.
But Black Science, I've said this to some people. I haven't read too many books in my life that have affected me in the way that I think or approach life after I've read Black Science. It's really deep.
Yeah?
It's a great book. If you haven't read it yet, and the art in it is beautiful.
I stopped reading it after the first trade paperback.
Give it a shot. Keep going. It gets good.
It gets
really good.
Well, it was mainly because, like, at the time, I was dating... Okay, my girlfriend was reading comics with me, and she's like, Black Science is amazing, I can't wait for him, like, I'm not one for dimension jumping, I'll check it out. And we were reading it together, and I'd only read it because she was
so it left a bad taste in your mouth.
Yeah, and I was just like, I don't care for it, like, but...
Read it.
From what you've been saying, like, yeah, definitely, I'll give it a shot.
Really good. You might not like it, Ronnie, but... Dimension hopping, but it's a really good book.
Yeah, I was totally fine with the dimension hopping in Uncanny Avengers.
Yeah, if you like that, you'll even like this better.
Okay.
You'll like this better. Yeah.
All right.
For sure. Ronnie, your last writer?
I already said Tomasi, but that's a given. Like, you can't have Pat Gleason without the other.
Yeah.
That's fair. For
me, at least.
Tomasi's good.
Yeah.
Writer.
Could be Tomasi.
Yeah.
If you want to keep that team together in your company, I would.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. Like, you can't really... Well, I mean, Wade could do stuff without Sammy.
Yeah, he could. They've become a team from Daredevil, but, like, Gleason, Tomasi, if that's your team, make that your writer.
Yeah, definitely.
Can't go wrong with that.
Yeah,
I have Cary Andrews, but he's more for, like, the artists.
Yeah. I find him to be more of an artist.
He's such a good artist, too.
Yeah.
More like, it's very abstract, but it's really good.
It's got style.
Brad Meltzer, Identity Crisis.
Oh, my. He's so good.
I want him to do
this. That book was so deep.
I want him to do a series now.
Yeah. But he's one of those guys hit and miss with comics, right? He comes and goes. He's a novelist.
Yeah.
He's a novelist first. But, yeah, he's a good comic writer. Yeah.
When he touches a comic, you're like, what?
His Justice League was so-so. It had its moments when he did the Justice League after Infinite Crisis.
Oh, yeah.
It was okay.
I was trying to think, like, did he write Cry for Justice? No, that was James Robinson.
Yeah, that was James Robinson.
Yeah, that was really good, though, too.
I didn't read the second part of that.
I heard it wasn't so good.
Yeah.
You got one more artist, everybody?
Yeah. I have a bunch.
Right. Of course you do.
So give us your one that you would pick and then list your...
You know what? We haven't mentioned him, but he's not really... He's more of like a colors dude.
Oh, FCL?
He'd be your colorist.
Yeah.
There you go. He'd color all your FCL. Books.
Every book would look the same.
Yeah.
But it depends on the character, right?
But it... I mean... I don't know. Like, if Gleason did... the art and see FCO do the colors for Gleason's art.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd pop.
Yeah, definitely.
A lot more.
But I like the guy who does the colors for Gleason.
Okay. Right. All right. So my other artist then. McGinnis? Ed McGinnis? Or...
Yeah.
Is that him?
Yeah, that's an artist. Yeah. You got that right.
I like the way he does superheroes.
Yeah, he does like that big muscular style.
Yeah.
It's I don't like all his stuff, but there's certain things he does that I really do like. Mm-hmm. So it depends. Like I don't like his Hulk. It doesn't make me want to read it.
Yeah, no.
But I do like his Spider-Man and Deadpool.
Because everybody's
giant. Just yeah.
Did you ever read his? You read his Deadpool. You read his Deadpool, right?
No.
His Deadpool is really good.
Yeah, with Joe Kelly.
Yeah,
I want to read that. I never got around to that.
There's a lot of that. If you really want to get into it, there's a lot. I'm pretty sure the omnibus that collects all of Joe Kelly's stuff is just. That's all.
Yeah, it's like everything. 60 issues. Yeah. It's huge though.
That's everything. So, like you don't need to get anything else after that.
Yeah. Your last artist?
Tony Daniel.
Yeah, you like him.
I had him. He's my favorite.
Is he your favorite artist?
He's literally my favorite artist. Like, ever since Batman from Grant Morrison, I was just like, wow, this guy's stuff is really good. But then he, the way that he drew Battle for the Cowl was so different from how he drew Batman.
So you must be liking Justice League right now.
Oh my god, Justice League is amazing! This book is so good! When I saw that he wasn't on the last issue, not like the issue that came out this week, but the week before that, or like 2 weeks ago or whatever, I was like, oh, Tony Daniel's not doing the pencils? I was like, this is so weird. Alright, whatever, I guess I'm just gonna keep it like that. And I saw his name on this week's issue. I'm like, no way! What?! This is going to be so good.
You work in a comic shop. Don't you know who's going to be on the next issue?
But the thing is, they just show us the title. That's it. They're just like, Justice League coming out. All right. Okay. And I don't know about it until, I open up the box. I'm like,
this guy's got previews, magazine. He's got, come on, Jazz.
I don't look through previews anymore because it's dangerous.
Oh, you just want to buy everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I go on the website. It's just as bad.
Yeah, exactly. So, when I saw that, I was freaking out. Yeah. Just like, oh my god, this is gonna be amazing. It was like, and just like the pencils were so clean. It was just, it was like laying eyes on Battle for the Cowl all over again. Like, it was so good.
Yeah. Sometimes those artists that you first fall in love with stick with you forever. Like for me, John Byrne Superman. I always have a thing for John Byrne.
Yeah.
Because of that.
Like, I always, like, what? Honorable mentions now, I'll have to say Jim Aparo, whenever I open up that hardcover.
Is he still alive?
No. Okay. But honorable mentions to him. he whenever I open up that hardcover that I have of him, Tales of the Dark Knight.
Yeah, Jim Aparo, I want that.
Oh, it's so nice. It's so clean. It's not like Neil,
It's very influenced by Neil Adams.
Yeah, though. But you know what? Like, you knew that it was Jim Aparo. Yeah, you do. It was so clean. Yeah. It was pretty much like his screw you to Neil Adams saying, my art is, cleaner.
Jim Aparo's Batman is great.
Yeah.
And it's definitely distinctive from Neil Adams.
Yeah, you could totally tell right away. It's just that's Jim Aparo.
Yeah.
That's so nice. Yeah, what's your last
one? My last one would be Ryan Ottley.
Ooh. Oh,
Invincible.
From Invincible. Oh, because I read almost that entire series, 120 issues in hardcover, but yeah. I saw his art go from good to better to fantastic. Yeah. Detailed and just so much cleaner and just so fluid, and I would love to see him draw Spider-Man or
dope.
I'd love to see him on something like that, or I don't know, just watch him do a Silver Surfer, because Invincible goes into space so often. Yeah. Watch him do Superman, Justice League. I'd love to see him on Justice League.
Yeah.
Actually, he'd be my favorite choice for a Justice League book, because there's so many. When he does the, I don't know if you guys read Invincible, but there's a lot of battles where.
Yeah, where it's just everybody.
And everyone's in it. Yeah. Imagine him doing the Justice League.
Yeah,
it would be great.
You know what, man? I've seen some of his new, his more recent pencils. And I've been reading the trade paperback. So I'm on volume 11 now.
It gets better.
And his art just gets even better and better.
Yeah.
At first it was kind of sloppy in the beginning. Like you could tell that it was kind of unfinished.
Yeah.
And, the inker would literally do a good chunk of the work. But then it got to a point where it was
the book the whole time.
Yeah.
That's what I love. I like guys who stick with it.
And he just got better. And usually like some artists would just like give up.
No.
Halfway through, like Finch, like he would just keep like, whoop, I suck. I'm garbage. Yeah. I'm not gonna bother. And it's just like he was just like, I'm just gonna keep going, keep going, keep going, and then like
just got better
the
and better.
Pencils like now I flip through them like they're clean, they're nice, like
beautiful.
I wish I had asked him for a Spider-Man commission from Fan Expo. That would have been nice.
Yeah. He's a really nice guy too. Super nice guy. Yeah, I talked to him for 5 minutes or so. He's finishing up the book, issue 144.
Yeah.
Invincible's finished.
144 is the last issue?
Yeah, they're going to be finished. So then who knows what he's going to do, right?
Yeah.
And the sky's the limit for him. Everyone's going to be after him, but that'll be fun to see. Imagine him doing Justice League.
Amazing.
It'd be awesome. Anyways, we're off the tangent. We got to go to bed. We'll wake up tomorrow. Thanks everybody for listening to the Cave of Solitude. Thanks Ronnie. Thanks Jazz.
Thank you
for having us at Cyber City Comics. Come over to Cyber City Comics. Give them the address. I always forget.
1025A Steeles Avenue West. We're located right above Kiva's and that Chinese restaurant. That is delicious.
It is delicious. But that's not why you come here. You come here for comics first.
And then you go get your food.
Yeah. And always tell them that we sent you. Because they never give us deals. Everybody else gives us deals. We work in the mall, man.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. Send us an email at caveofsolitude@outlook.com or visit our website at caveofsolitude.com and give us your feedback. We will be talking to you soon. Take care.
Yes, definitely.
Or Lemire or Charles Soule.
Yes.
Guys who I feel like they've got so much under their belt and they can tackle any type of story.
I would have said like James Robinson, Brian Azzarello, and Garth Ennis. I haven't read enough from Garth Ennis to say but like I've heard a lot of good things from everything. I've just read The Boys and I like The Boys. That's like messed up and like, twisted, but. Yeah, no, man. A lot of good writers and a lot of good artists there.
Next time we'll do our dead or alive. Top five dead or alive.
But this is like almost Jim Aparo. You know what?
He's your number one. We almost had 3 hours already. Yeah. I'm gonna cut it in half. I'm gonna do the Fan Expo bit and then I'll do another episode.
This is your longest episode.
Oh yeah, ever.
It's gonna be amazing.
Thanks, guys, for spending almost 3 hours.
Three hours of podcast. And me and Ronnie were just like, we're going to beat our podcast time.
Yeah, we said that earlier. I was like, hey, what's the longest? 2 hours? Like,
yeah, we're going to beat it. I'm like, all right.
The question is anyone going to listen to us for that long talking about this?
You know what, man? I've talked to customers about it, and they're just like, yeah, man, I'm listening to it. And the thing is, I'd be driving, I'm listening to this thing, and I'm just like, that's great. You know what?
I listened to your movie one.
Yeah,
your movie episodes where you guys would come back from the movie, like you guys would talk about
react
it.
To it. Yeah, it's fun because it's all. But sometimes the thing is, you react right away, and then you let it settle for a couple days, and you get your opinion like more solid. It's funny how it changes a little bit, but the first initial reaction is always the most fun.
Or sometimes you have to see it again.
Yeah.
To get like a solid.
There's a couple that we did where, you see it.
Yeah.
You think you love it right away, or you think you hate it right away. Yeah. Like, I like Star Trek Beyond a lot better now than when I first came out.
I heard it was actually really good.
It was fun. I loved it.